us, Glenn Brooks, and native healer Cloud Pyler, for an hour of Native Health Radio and discover how sacred medicine can save modern life. Honest, direct, funny, informative, it's programming that makes you think. Saturday, from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., right here on KRXA 540 AM.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Hartley Carnes. Scooter Libby, convicted of 4 of 5 perjury and obstruction charges against him. The jury agreed that he had lied to the grand jury and the FBI about what he knew about the leak of CIA agent Valerie Plame's identity to the New York Times. Juror Dennis Collins.
The jurors were not happy after this was done. I mean, there was no congratulating. There was no, hey, way to go.
CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen.
Now what happens is Libby and his lawyers get ready for sentencing. That's in June. In the meantime, they're going to file a motion for a new trial with the judge, which is a pro forma action. Judges never grant motions for a new trial. They're essentially overruling themselves. They don't do that. We'll see an appeal here.
Political consultant Larry Sabato.
This is not a minor White House munchkin. It's the former chief of staff to the most powerful vice president of the United States in history.
That vice president, Dick Cheney, said in reaction he is sad for Libby and his family, saying he was a tireless, dedicated worker, and he is disappointed in this verdict. Hearings are coming up later this week for some alleged terrorists held in Guantanamo. CBS News correspondent Dan Raviv joins us live now.
A special group of detainees, Harley, journalists who want to attend what are called the status review tribunals, are being told you can't come to the hearings for these 14, the men who had been held for years in secret by the CIA until they were flown to Guantanamo last September. They include Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, alleged mastermind of 9/11. Other tribunals to classify prisoners have been open to news media. Now we're being offered censored transcripts. Apparently there's concern the men may talk about how they've been treated and where. Live in Washington, Dan Raviv, CBS News.
Ripples ramble from one end of the country to the other on the Walter Reed Veterans Care story.
There are concerns from coast to coast, from dilapidated rooms at Walter Reed to Mattigan Army Medical Center. Meredith Leva with the nonprofit group Operation Homefront says the Tacoma Hospital's building
have, in the older facilities, have asbestos and lead. They were supposed to move those soldiers out 2 years ago, and they are just doing it now.
She's also worried about a lack of staffing and funding. She says soldiers, particularly after they transition from military to veterans care, are not getting adequate long-term help. Heather Bosch for CBS News, Seattle.
Young prison inmates sexually abused, an oft-told story. In Texas, police have been sent to 22 state youth facilities. The allegation that prison staff members had sexual contact and that there was a cover-up. Mega Millions hits a new record.
That's all everybody's talking about.
Tonight's drawing in Times Square in 5 hours for $370 million. Each number has a 1 in 175 million-plus chance of winning. That's it.
For grins and giggles, basically. I don't normally gamble at all.
On the other hand, if you don't have a ticket, your chances of winning are really slim. Wall Street, the Dow gained an impressive 157 points, NASDAQ up 44. This is CBS News.
This is Charles Osgood of the Osgood File. Emerging research suggests that eating foods naturally rich in antioxidants may help protect your memory. I think that's big news. Even more surprising is where to find those protective antioxidants. Did you know Welch's 100% grape juice has powerful antioxidants just like red wine? In fact, one independent study just ranked Welch's 100% grape juice the number one beverage for antioxidant capacity per serving among 1,000 foods tested. So if you want to help protect your memory, remember to drink delicious Welch's 100% grape juice every day. This is Charles Osgood. I'll see you on the Osgood File.
Hello?
Mr. Johnson, this is Greg's cell phone calling.
My son, Greg?
Yeah, I'm with him all the time. I know what's up.
Yeah? What's up?
Well, the other night, Greg was at this cat's crib, and he was smoking a blunt.
What? I'll put the fear into that kid?
No, I meant the other dude. Greg passed.
Still, if he was there, let me talk to Greg.
Hold up. G's taking a test right now. I'm turned off.
And then how can...
Try us back after school. That's prime time.
Talking. The anti-drug. Learn more at theantidrug.com. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
A bias case between some Americans and Muslims may be going away because those involved have decided to talk it out. CBS's Jim Krasula is in North Carolina.
Living up to the religious tenets of their Quaker-affiliated school, three Guilford College football players accused of attacking two Palestinian students have apologized. Lawyers for the victims say they will ask that assault charges be dropped once a fourth player says he's sorry.
One of the easiest drug busts in a long while started with a bang in Orangeburg, South Carolina. The car crashed into the state trooper's cruiser. Troopers checked it out. They found 43 pounds of marijuana in it. You know, cows can be as stubborn as any donkey. Try to get one to walk that doesn't want to. Crestview, Florida, despite the best efforts of people and the police to get an obstinate bovine off the road, it wouldn't go. Wasn't even lured by hay, so police tasered her. Didn't hurt the cow, but it sure got her moving. And the hole in the farmer's fence now, they say, has been fixed. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
So where do you two keep the books for your contracting business?
It's all up in the old noggin.
Yep, all our sales figures are right in his head.
I see. Does that concern you?
Not at all.
Every waking moment.
You know, there's an easier way to manage your business. QuickBooks. You can be up and running in under 15 minutes. With just a few clicks, QuickBooks software lets you send invoices, see who's paid and who hasn't. It even makes tax time a cinch.
We need that.
Are you sure? I got it all right here.
I'm sure.
QuickBooks. Better, faster, simpler. Get it at CompUSA, OfficeMax, or Circuit City.
Hello, would you like to be more successful with the opposite sex? I'm Ted Baker, and my program can teach you how to attract a mate. Listen to this.
Ted told me about logging on to freecreditreport.com. I learned that my good credit could help me buy a car and a boat, and now chicks dig me.
My patented system could work for you, too. Log on to freecreditreport.com to get your free credit score and report. A nice condo could make you irresistible.
Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at freecreditreport.com. Get the score.
Live from San Francisco, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Lively, informative, compelling, progressive talk radio. And it's interactive, too, which is a fancy way of saying he takes your phone calls. Toll free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. Fasten your seatbelt and let's take a ride in Peter B.'s America.
Scooter has been convicted.
Ah, that's the way I like it. Here we go. Pardon me, Scooter. Will the president pardon you? On today's program, we'll get the lowdown from Jason Leopold, the intrepid investigative reporter from truthout.org, who's been all over the CIA leak case, the Rove angle, the Cheney angle, and the Libby angle. And the jury returned that verdict in the 9 o'clock hour Pacific time today. And I want to thank the jury for returning its verdict on the day that Jason is scheduled to be with us every week. It's just perfect timing. Also on today's program, about a half hour from now, Max Blumenthal returns. He writes for The Nation, and he went to that CPAC, Conservative Action Conference, in Washington last week and cornered Michelle Boo-Frickin-Who Malkin. And you didn't see this in the mainstream media, but he actually got to ask a question of Ann Coulter. We'll bring you the vid. And if it all works out, we're going to hear from a conservative woman whose friend and co-author was roughed up, manhandled, and ejected from the CPAC conference because he objected to Ann Coulter's slimy remarks. Also on today's program, the controversy continues over the sacking of U.S. attorneys across the nation by Alberto Gonzalez. And we're going to speak with Mr. Fallman from Salon.com, who has been working very hard on this story. He deserves a lot of credit for bringing it to our attention. That's all ahead, and at any moment, you can join this conversation. We pay for the call. It's toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You got my email? Go ahead, drop me a note anytime you feel like it with comments, criticism, ideas for topics, and guests you'd like to hear on the program. Send it to Peter at peterbcollins.com. Tell me And that's the website where you can get access to our archive programs and the live stream in case a radio station is not readily available within the sound of, well, within the range of your receiver. And kicking off our show today is a professor of politics from the University of San Francisco. He is a frequent contributor at CommonDreams.org and other progressive websites, a member of the Tycoon Board of Directors, and just an all-around interesting guy, Stephen Zunis. Hello, Professor.
Hi there.
Nice to talk with you again.
Oh, my pleasure.
It's been a little while, but you've been on my mind, and I'm glad you could join us today. I wanted to get your thoughts on a number of issues related to the developments in the Middle East. Do you think the Bush administration is really embracing diplomacy with the meeting scheduled for Istanbul later this week?
It's hard to say. I mean, there's always the hope that they could be, you know, facing reality, you know, that they recognize that Iran is and Syria are, for better or worse, regional powers, that and there are at least some areas of common interest and concern about stabilizing the situation, but it, you know, could be one of those things where they is largely for show, and they'll, you know, put some, you know, lateral demands out, and that no reasonable party could accept, and then try to say, oh, we tried to negotiate, and you know, things didn't happen. So it's hard to say.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me back into this by asking you to give me your latest sentiments about our talks with North Korea. Because I found it interesting, the Bush administration insisted that there would be no bilateral exchanges and everything had to occur in this six-party setting. They claim that that strengthens any agreements that surface because neighbors are invested in it, and not just the distant superpower of the United States. But we're now learning that the intelligence that was used to force North Korea into the six-party talks and force it into an agreement that many people think is unsustainable, that they, you know, accepted about 3 weeks ago. We're now learning that the intelligence that was underlying all that was, gosh, a little hyped, a little inaccurate, a little inflated. So now, first of all, where do those talks stand since the U.S. has revealed that it actually didn't know the extent to which North Korea was processing uranium and developing actual nuclear weapons?
It's, yeah, it's really hard to say. I mean, there, North Korea, you know, there's clearly North Korea is much further along in whatever it's doing than Iran. And the United States has figured that there's not much of an opportunity to use a military option there, and so they are much more open to possibly negotiating. Unfortunately, yeah, this sends exactly the wrong signal. I mean, when you look back to, for example, this Axis of Evil speech, and if you are Iranian and you saw how Iraq had gotten rid of its nuclear weapons program, belatedly brought inspectors to the International Atomic Energy Agency and they got invaded anyway. And then you see North Korea, which threw out the inspectors and started developing you know, nuclear weapons, and they're still in power. You know, you kind of wonder, you know, what path would you follow?
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, there seems to be something there with the with deterrence. But the fact is that, that intelligence isn't foolproof. That there's often an, you know, exaggeration at this end, and it's kind of ironic because when you think about deterrence, historically countries would belittle the other side's power and exaggerate their power.
Yeah.
But because to do the opposite, to say, oh, you know, they're so strong and they're so dangerous, they're risking our national security. That's like giving them a license to attack. But so it's clearly for domestic consumption. But the main point here is that we really need to be having incentives that will encourage countries not to develop nuclear weapons, and to instead of giving them an incentive to do so.
Understood. Stephen Zunis with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. All right, so now coming back to our face-off with Iran, informed by the new information about North Korea. Yesterday, there was an AP report that Iran has voluntarily suspended its centrifuge program designed to throw off enriched uranium. I've seen no further coverage of that. It's not in the Chronicle today. It's not in the New York Times, at least not that I saw. And so I'm curious if you heard that report and if it's been confirmed.
Actually, I had not. But there have been a number of hints that the Iranians were willing to compromise on a number of levels. For one thing, they're not moving forward as quickly as some of them had hoped, or as many people in the rest of the world had feared. There is some debate within the country itself about the wisdom of pursuing a nuclear enrichment program, especially given that there's they're using German technology that didn't pass muster to German inspectors. They're using rogue Russian scientists, and they're using black market equipment, and they're building this stuff near heavily populated areas. So there's some. There's obviously debate, within based on environmental and health concerns unrelated to U.S. pressure. So there's, there are any number of reasons they may want to back off somewhat and try to reach some kind of agreement.
Mm-hmm. You think they've attempted to offer, say, their leading soccer team to Pakistan in exchange for AQ Khan and a few physicists to be named later?
This is kind of ironic, of course. Once again, it brings up the issue of why the United States has been pandering Pakistan's nuclear weapons program. They actually have nuclear weapons.
Yeah.
UN Security Council Resolution 1172 called on them to eliminate their nuclear weapons and their missiles, and we haven't been so eager about enforcing that one. In fact, we've delivered sophisticated nuclear-capable jet fighters to that dictatorial government. So it's, again, an example of the double standard that the U.S. Government has towards nonproliferation issues, which, of course, just feeds right into the hands of Ahmadinejad and the other demagogues.
Well, and AQ Khan, in recent years, is the single most effective proliferator of nuclear technology.
Very much so. And the Pakistani government to this day has not allowed the CIA or other American officials to interview him. He lives in a very comfortable house arrest in Islamabad right now.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to take a break and continue with Stephen Zunis, professor of politics at the University of San Francisco. If you'd like to join in with a question or comment, we'd love to hear from you. Lines open right now at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372 puts you through to the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal. Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's A Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm still your humble host, Peter B. My guest is Professor Stephen Zunes, Z-U-N-E-S, from the University of San Francisco. Stephen Zunes published a commentary at commondreams.org, and I think it also appears at Foreign Policy in Focus a couple of weeks back, entitled Iran Charges Reflect Failed Iraq Policy. And, Stephen, I agree with your sentiment there that the Bush administration is trying to demonize Iran. We've seen these EFPs, a new acronym introduced, these shaped explosives that are rather lethal, and the allegation that these are being shipped in from Iran into Iraq to injure American soldiers or kill them. And the chorus has been building. Today's New York Times, a story from Tel Aviv, written by Stephen Erlanger, says the chief of Shin Bet, the Israeli Internal Security Service, said Monday that the Islamic movement Hamas had sent dozens of men from Gaza to Iran for military training. Now, that is not news to me. I fully expect that Hamas and Hezbollah have been using the support of Iran whenever they could. And so given that that's not really news, what is, in your view, the reason to emphasize these moves by Iran at this particular time?
And actually, if I may add, Hamas has long gotten the bulk of its support, not from Iran, but from Saudi Arabia. Mm-hmm. Assuming there is some connection there, though not as prominent as some may imply, it's certainly not new. You know, the timing is rather suspicious. I mean, for one thing, these AFPs have been used in Iraq for a couple years now, and they are certainly not some nefarious invention by the Iranians to kill American forces. You know, they've been around for decades. I mean, the IRA used them against the British back in the 1980s. Similarly, the technology to make them is not that complicated. Anybody who knows how to work a lathe and the operations and munitions of the factory could put those together. So this assertion by the United States that the technology is too complicated for the Iraqis to do, so it must come from Iran, is rather silly, particularly when this is the same administration that 4 years ago was saying that Iraq had enough technology to build long-range missiles and nuclear weapons. So if there are Iranian components, of course, there's the black market there, the open borders. I mean, there's all sorts of deadly weapons and components from countries all over the world floating around. But then the main thing that seems the most bizarre is that the United States has not generally been attacked or even attacking these militant Shiite groups that are tied to Iran. In fact, we're on the same side as them. The Badr Brigade, mm-hmm. is a branch of the leading ruling party, Supreme Council for the Islamic Revolution in Iraq, which is the majority party in the U.S.-backed government.
Right, scary.
And the U.S. has been working with these guys and training them. They've totally infiltrated the Interior Ministry, some of the major police forces there, as well as the regular army. And so, we have been, training. So, yes, it's true that these groups have engaged in death squads, and Iran has been training them and supporting them, but so has the United States.
Well, and Cy Hirsch's last article is really an eye-opener, because what he reports is that since we have now set up a Shiite-dominated government in Iraq, the Sunni factions, and of course Sunnis, are the worldwide predominant group, but a minority in Iraq. And so the Sunnis in Saudi Arabia and a few other nations are threatening to support the Sunnis in Iraq. And by supporting Sunnis, we are in effect offering aid and comfort to Al-Qaeda.
Very, very much so. And the fact that we're employing Saudi intelligence in a lot of this stuff, and they're connected to all sorts of nasty groups, not Al-Qaeda directly, because they are opposed to the Saudi government, but certainly some kindred spirits that have cooperated with Al-Qaeda from time to time. And Salafi Sunni extremists that have been attacking American forces are a major part of the insurgency. So are Baathists, but virtually none of them are Shiite. In fact, these are fanatically, chauvinistically anti-Shiite and anti-Iranian. So they are not the biggest threat against U.S. forces. And so why we're obsessing about Iran has little to do with protecting our troops or giving some kind of assessment of where the threats are coming from within Iraq. But part of this fear the United States has that by creating this allied state with Iran in Iraq, that the Shiites are gaining the influence and could be a destabilizing force throughout the Middle East. So we're willing to go back and reverse course yet again and try to support some of the anti-Shiite factions, even though that includes some pretty hardcore jihadist types.
The enemy of my enemy is my friend, and whoops, my enemy. Oh, my God. Dave, join us from Eureka. Good afternoon. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Professor Stephen Zunis.
Peter, thank you. And Professor Zunis, I think nothing that comes at us from this current White House has anything remotely to do with reality. So I think we are left to ponder, what is our involvement in the Middle East all about? And I ask myself, is it any way connected to the fact that some corporations are now profiting into the multi-billions of dollars and that the Treasury of the United States is shifted into their pockets? So if we put it in that context, then it's got nothing to do with who's a threat to us. Who they tell us is a threat to us is strictly to be able to perpetrate their very profitable war. That's my opinion.
Well, and there's also the expansion of presidential power and the reduction of the rights of individual citizens like you and me. Professor?
Very much so. I am less convinced that it's about profit in the short term, just in the sense that, they're certainly well-connected companies that have benefited. The chaos and instability and the fact that Iraq can hardly be considered have a good investment climate, even though we rewrote all their laws along neoliberal lines, you know, just the security situation and the reliability in terms of basic utilities is such that, you know, I wouldn't want to necessarily invest there. And so I think war profiteering, you know, given the cost, it doesn't quite add up. But I do think that it is part of a broader hegemonic agenda, mm-hmm. of which American capitalism, of course, is a major piece of it.
Yeah, I've got to stop here, Stephen. Thanks for joining us today. We'll talk again soon.
Looking forward to it.
Stephen Zunis, USF. Actually, hold on. I didn't mean to join it right there. It's better here. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Peter B. Collins Show, live from the Left Coast. I am your humble host, as well as the impaired technical operator of the Peter B. Collins Show. So when technical glitches occur, don't blame anybody else. It's his fault. Coming up next hour, Mark Fallman from Salon.com will join us for the latest on the U.S. attorneys who've been fired by the Bush administration. And it is kind of unusual because progressives are sounding the alarm about Republicans firing Republicans to replace them with other Republicans. And about an hour from now, Jason Leopold returns. Flushed with some satisfaction, Scooter Libby convicted on 4 of 5 counts, obstructing justice and perjury. The disappointment is, Prosecutor Fitzgerald says he's done. But before we get to that, what do you say we relive the great moments of neocon humor? As presented at the Conservative Conference in Washington last week, Ann Coulter issued the slimy phrase that's heard across the nation and earned her invitations to repeat it on primetime newscasts over the last couple of days. And Max Blumenthal of The Nation, who's been on our program quite frequently, most recently broke the story about John McCain in trouble with his Republican pals in Arizona. And you can read Max Blumenthal at the Huffington Post, at thenation.com, and at maxblumenthal.com. Hey, Max.
Hey, Peter, how you doing?
I'm fine. How about you?
I'm doing well.
Well, you had quite a good time, I think, at this conservative conference on Friday. We've got the video clip up that people can look at for themselves either at YouTube or at thenation.com. And I want to lift two parts of it. First, your interchange with Michelle Boo-Frickin-Who Malkin. And then the corporate media did not deign to share with us that you actually got to ask a question of Ann Coulter from the floor of this conference.
Yeah, I don't know why they didn't focus on that, but, you know, it was good enough that they paid attention to her at all, because last year they sort of ignored the fact that she called Arabs ragheads. And, you know, the comment this year that about black Republicans, our blacks are better than their blacks. So it's totally selective outrage, and it's because it was directed against John Edwards.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
against homosexuals,
and I want to let our listeners know that this is going to be our last attempt to cover Ann Coulter because, as John Edwards has counseled, we don't want to encourage her by giving her more attention than she deserves. But
I disagree with that tactic. I think we should cover her extensively and the voice of conservatism.
Well, I understand your point. I kind of measure it that I don't want to be talking about this a week from now unless we get more information to dress down Ann Coulter, because it will only encourage her to do more of the same.
Right. Then it becomes, you know, Anna Nicole Smith with a man's body.
Yeah. Well, now you just raised something. The last call I took on the program yesterday is from a well-informed listener named Jake in Arcata. And he is convinced that Ann Coulter is actually a man who has transitioned to the female zone. Do you have any comment on that, Max?
Well, you know, you can play the clip, and then I'll comment on it. But, you know, I don't want to get into that too extensively. It's just that, you know, and during every Q&A at CPAC, all these conservative guys get up and tell Ann Coulter what their hotel room number is. And I'm just like, has anyone considered that she probably looks like Montgomery Burns naked? And so it's I don't know where it came from that she was attractive, but, you know.
Well,
I like women that look kind of like Marilyn Monroe, not like, you know, my grandfather.
Yeah. All right. So. Well, let's play this. And by the way, in the second segment of this half hour, Lydia is going to join us, Lydia Cornell. She's a conservative, an actress who some people will know from Curb Your Enthusiasm on HBO. And her friend and co-author, they've been working on a book that's highly critical of Ann Coulter. Dan Borchers was kicked out of CPAC on Friday. She'll tell us that story coming up in a few minutes. But first, let's listen to the audio of this video clip. And the first part is your encounter with Michelle Malkin.
Whereas this is Michelle Malkin. She's written In Defense of Internment, justifying the internment of Japanese Americans during World War II, and essentially saying that we should institute the same policy towards American Muslims during the War on Terror. And so we're going to get her to sign this picture of Manzanar.
One of the internment camps in California.
Concentration camp.
Handed over a picture of Japanese Americans in a concentration camp.
Uh-huh. Hi, I love your book, In Defense of Internment. I was wondering...
I don't think you did.
Can you make this out to Max?
I'm not going to sign that.
Why, what's the problem?
I'm not going to sign it.
Well, why not?
I'm not signing it.
It's with this.
Let me tell you something since you are filming this. I am all for honest intellectual debate. I had extensive exchanges with critics of my book. I put up an errata page. I invited the major...
You had to issue errata?
Excuse me. Exactly. I did.
So you made a lot of errors in your book?
I made a lot of errors, and I acknowledged several errors in my book. And I absolutely detest your initiative in trying to smear my work without even reading my book. Thank you very much.
Well, that was a good speech, Malkin. Now, I was wondering if you'd learned any lessons.
He's following her as she walks away.
She runs away from her own book signing here.
Yeah, she. Now, that was a very interesting provocation. The only part I have trouble with, Max, is that you represented that you liked her book.
I just wanted to say the title of her book. And
Well, I understand. You don't get very...
My picture was smiling, you know. They were in this concentration camp smiling. I thought she would want to sign it, you know.
Uh-huh.
She thought it was such a great place for these people who she considered to be traitors to be living.
Right. Well,
so much nicer than the Nazis to them, according to her.
And I really think that Ann Coulter and Michelle Malkin share the same really dastardly virus, because they really have figured out how to make money by bashing liberals without any conscience or any reference to rational thought or basic truth.
Or any, definitely without any conscience, because when you examine their personalities and their behavior, their accusations against liberals are revealed to be total projections of their own self-image. You have to get into the psychology of Ann Coulter, Michelle Malkin, and not just them, but of right-wing women like Phyllis Schlafly, who attack feminism but then benefit from the gains of feminism, because these are independent, career-minded women. Ann Coulter is not married, which feeds into my question, but then they attack other people's personal lives, and they moralize, and they say that, that feminism did damage to women when in fact they're benefiting from this movement.
Great of you to recall Phyllis Schlafly, the fossilized conservative who fought the Equal Rights Amendment back in the 1970s. I had a number of radio encounters with her, and she was really as nasty in many respects as these two women are today.
She's the one who paved the way for them, she employed the same tactics, and she was actually at CPAC, but she was not there attacking feminism or doing what they do. She was there attacking immigrants, which offended a lot of the people of color who considered themselves Republican, mm-hmm. that I spoke to.
Now, I want to play the very last segment of the video clip, and if you want to see the whole thing, go to thenation.com or go to YouTube and enter Max Blumenthal or Ann Coulter. You'll probably be able to find this. And what's interesting here is that conservative candidate for president Mitt Romney introduced her. He was the speaker beforehand, and we're going to hear his endorsement of her and then a few comments from Ms. Coulter.
I'm happy to learn also that after you hear me, you're going to hear from Ann Coulter. That is a good thing.
Oh, a good thing. That's right, Mitt.
I was going to have a few comments on the other Democratic presidential candidate, John Edwards, but it turns out that you have to go into rehab if you use the word faggot. So...
With the Republican elite clamoring to share the stage with Ann Coulter, I wanted to make sure I had a moment with her as well.
Ann, I appreciate your defense of marriage in your latest book. And as a proponent of the sanctity of marriage, can you explain why you've had three broken engagements and never been married?
respecting my right to privacy.
It's kind of like do as I say, but not as I do.
There's your liberal. I'm a good-looking fella, too.
Thank you.
There's your typical
Max
liberal.
Blumenthal from The Nation. Thank you for the compliment.
Hi, Ann. Two quick questions. One, when are you going to...
And the closing screen is by Max Blumenthal, a good-looking fella. And what
I think she was being sarcastic. But.
Maybe she was, but it's the first time I've seen your face, and you're a good-looking fella. We'll let it go at that.
Thanks a lot.
Now, Max, what's also interesting in there is that she talks about her quote-unquote right to privacy. And in our next segment, we'll be joined by Lydia Cornell, who started to write a book critical of Ann Coulter, and Coulter put her home phone number up on the Internet. Now, the right to privacy only accrues to, you know, movement conservatives, I guess.
Right. Like I said, when I was talking to Ann Coulter, I said it's like do as I say, not as I do. That's their the psychology of conservatives. And so again, it's a projection. I think what the reason she said that was she's been coached on how to handle people who talk to her about her personal life because that's her Achilles heel. And that she was prepared to say that.
Well, you know, the answer is not much different from the one Rudy Giuliani gave yesterday when he was confronted by a reporter in Southern California about what is now widely known, his estrangement from his son. And he acknowledged the problem, he took responsibility for it, and then he said that these things are best handled privately.
Right. Well, you know, the conservatives, and I'm not including Giuliani as a real conservative, but they created the politics of personal destruction, and they're going to have to be held accountable, and they're going to have to, you know, play by the same, you know, they're going to have to play ball. And clearly, you know, my video shows that they're thin-skinned, that they've come up in this right-wing intellectual hothouse and don't know how to handle the same accusations that they throw out at others, which and this is their Achilles heel.
Mm-hmm. Now, Max, anything else that you observed at CPAC that didn't make the coverage that you think our listeners ought to know about?
Well, I'm going to be putting out a outtakes reel by the end of the week on YouTube, and I'll blog on it at The Nation. But, you know, what I want to say, you know, in the continuing coverage of CPAC is that all these conservatives are disowning Ann Coulter now, like Michelle Malkin. You know, she's disowning Ann Coulter, distancing herself from her. This is someone who's modeled her career after Ann Coulter. And several other people are disowning Ann Coulter for using the term faggot, when in fact the conservative movement has attempted to institutionalize homophobia in the Constitution through the Federal Marriage Amendment. They never criticized her for using the term raghead. They don't criticize her for attacking minorities. It's a movement. I would say that, you know, the lesson from CPAC and the lesson from my video, which shows the dense bigotry in the conservative movement, is that culturism is conservatism, and that the conservative movement, you know, should not be allowed to distance themselves from Ann Coulter.
Yeah. We're going to take a break and return with Max Blumenthal. Read his work at thenation.com. You can see the video, the full, unexpurgated version. We just brought you clips of it at thenation.com. He also writes at maxblumenthal.com. In a moment, Lydia Cornell will join this conversation to tell what happened to her co-author, Dan Borcher, when he was at CPAC and had the gall to make some critical remarks about Her Highness Ann Coulter. That's coming up next on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Carmel Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Carmel Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Carmel Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Carmel Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
I want to get you to tell us this story, first of all, about how Ann Coulter violated your privacy, because she just lectured Max Blumenthal on the tape we played a moment ago for violating her privacy by bringing up what is publicly known about her love life. And yeah. You and Dan Borchers have been working on a book called Blogging with the Devil, or How to Talk to Ann Coulter If You Must.
Yes.
I love the title just off the bat.
Thank you. Well, a year ago, I do stand-up comedy, and I was... You know, I thought all human suffering was caused by Victoria's Secret. But I think differently now, you know.
Yeah.
I think Bush and Cheney are number one, and then Coulter's in there. I was just having this fit over the election and the Iraq War and the invasion, and plus I'm a left-wing Christian.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a spiritual progressive. And there's nothing Christian about this administration. And we knew, all of us, Brad Friedman, all of us,
yeah.
On the left, we knew this was wrong, that the invasion was wrong. But Coulter seems to be the most vitriolic force on their side. She was allowed, her enablers allow her to be on TV. She's on the network news all the time. She seemed to have a forum with not just Fox News, but she was allowed on Hardball. Last year, she called Al Gore a fag. And I got more and more angry, so I wrote an article called Death is Sexier Than Sex to Ann Coulter, which is a provocative title, but...
Yeah.
My whole idea was that this is a very unchristian thing to advocate the killing of liberals. And, you know, we've investigated every single thing she's ever said and done. And
She wished that McVeigh had blown up the New York Times instead of the Murrah Federal Building.
Exactly. And she calls it the assassination of Clinton in a joking way.
Mm-hmm.
And Supreme Court Justice, the one that wanted, the one that's liberal and wants abortion rights. So I wrote this article, and I thought a few Democrats are going to read it. And Brad Blog published it, Brad Friedman.
Sure.
300,000 hits on my website. And then suddenly Ann Coulter publishes the letter I wrote her, a private letter I'd written her 3 months earlier asking to interview her.
Mm-hmm.
A very polite letter. And I put my home number at the bottom thinking, well, she's probably, this is probably just her shtick. She's probably not like this in real life. And I didn't really mean to put my home number, but it went out there.
Mm-hmm.
So she published it. She published the number, and then she said, let me warn Lydia about the death camps I have planned for liberals. Death is certainly sexier than Lydia Cornell.
Wow.
And I got, it was Christmas, it was the holidays, I have two kids, 300, all these calls at all hours of the night, 300,000 hits on the website in a week. Mm. The main thing I got were some major death threats, real death threats.
Yeah.
I recorded them, I have emails, and then I started getting the love letters and the love mail, and a Marine sent me his Purple Heart. So it was a beautiful experience on that end.
Well, and when you heard Ann Coulter lecturing Max about her privacy, how do you react to that?
Well, the main thing is we had asked her to remove the number.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as if I thought politely, you know, please remove my phone number. She kept it up for a solid year. I changed the number, of course, but still, we did have someone come to our door.
Mm-hmm.
We had someone in my front yard going through my mail. My kids almost opened the door. Someone lit the trash cans on fire in the back of the house. I called the FBI. Then it got more crazy, and it's all in this book. But I'm just coming out of a dark year this year.
Now, is the book out yet, Lydia?
No, it'll be out probably in October.
Okay. Well, I want
a funny book.
I want an exclusive radio interview for an hour when you publish the book.
Thank you. But back
now, Max,
Dan.
Max, did you want to add anything here? Because I want to go to the Borchers story next.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Ann Coulter has said her most favorite politician of all time is Joe McCarthy.
Yes.
And I mean, that's what you come to expect from her. And, you know, Michelle Malkin is notorious for putting opponents' phone numbers on her blog. She's actually possibly responsible for getting an Iraqi police captain killed by revealing his identity as an AP source.
Are you serious?
You know, these people have no journalistic ethics or personal integrity. So,
well,
you know,
Max, I love what you said, and what you said was correct. It's the conservative movement. She represents the actual conservative movement of today. That's what's scary.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So we need to just point to her instead of demanding that cable news. I mean, as much as I hate what she says, I think we have to point to the fact that she remains popular among conservatives.
Very popular. And, in fact, have you ever been to one of her speeches? Did you stay the whole time and see the look and the charisma? I mean, she has this charismatic quality, and it's like young Nazis.
Well, yeah, I mean,
cheering for her, and they're sweating. We have photographs of some of these young Republicans, college Republicans, who are just enamored of Coulter.
Lydia, I just have 2 minutes remaining.
Oh.
Tell what happened to Dan Borchers, your friend.
Dan is my co-author, and he called me the other Friday morning. For some reason, we connected. I called him and said, hey, how's CPAC going? He said, I'm so excited. I'm going to go see Coulter later, but I'm interviewing Mark Smith right now in 5 minutes. 45 minutes later, I get a call from Dan, panicked. And this is a humble Christian man who is so shy. He almost blends into the woodwork, very unobtrusive. And he calls. He goes, Lydia, you're not going to believe what happened. Four men wrestled him, pushed him, shoved him, and almost picked him out. And they had their hands on his shoulders, and they were grabbing at his credentials, and they were literally ushering him out of the building. And he flailed his arms around, and he got cut. He sent me a photograph of his finger, of his whole hand kind of bloody and one little small cut, but still. And they pushed him all the way down. They ordered him to go to his car a few blocks away. When he got there, there was another man waiting on a cell phone. And Dan said, reached into his pocket to get a tape recorder to say, what is your name? And the other guy said, if you bring out a camera, I will smash it into 1,000 pieces. It was very threatening and menacing.
Yeah, and what did he do to provoke this?
Nothing. I'm telling you, this man, he's been investigating Coulter. He asked her a few questions. A few years ago, he had a run-in with CPAC. Only he was distributing press kits saying, please, conservatives, wake up. This woman is not good for our movement. He's a conservative who believes Coulter's responsible for mainstreaming extremism, hijacking the movement to this bizarre.
And, you know, I can't tell you how many compliments I got from evangelical attendees of CPAC who feel that Coulter is a hypocrite.
They do?
Who's, you know,
well, good.
At the conference.
Yeah. Well, I wish we had more time here, but Max and Lydia, I want to thank you both for speaking the truth to these demagogues, and we will continue to expose them whenever we have the chance.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks again. Max,
I have a blog.
Tell us.
LydiaCornell.com.
Okay, go check out the blog, and MaxBlumenthal.com, too. One more, Lydia, I got time.
Oh, at Basham and Cornell radio show, where we interviewed Paul Waldman last week from Media Matters, and we'd love to have.
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
Remember the time you almost volunteered to work in a soup kitchen? Or when you almost visited the Veterans Hospital? Or when you almost brought dinner to your neighbor with AIDS? Remember all the times you almost helped, almost gave? Well, it's only human, this almost giving. But the truth is, it's the same as not giving at all. Don't almost give, give. Visit our website at don'talmostgive.org. A message from the Ad Council.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. Scooter Libby found guilty on four counts.
Victory.
We cannot tolerate perjury.
And defiant defeat.
We intend to keep fighting.
I'm Barry Bagnato with U.S. District Court in Washington.
The president promises veterans he'll fix military health care.
It's unacceptable to me. It's unacceptable to you. It's unacceptable to our country, and it's not going to continue.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Louis Scooter Libby, former top aide to Vice President Cheney, was convicted today of lying to investigators and obstructing the CIA leak investigation. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato was there.
You could see by the downcast look on defense lawyer Ted Wells' face, he noticed something as the jurors filed in. Then the word guilty rang out four times. Libby, leaning back in his chair, didn't flinch.
We intend to keep fighting to establish his innocence.
Wells declared. No gloating from prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald, who faced enormous pressure to win the sole criminal case to come out of this costly CIA leak probe.
It's sad that we had a situation where a high-level official obstructed justice and lied under oath.
Juror Dennis Collins didn't believe Libby's changing stories about his recollection of the identity of CIA officer Valerie Plame Wilson before she was outed.
How he could remember it on a Tuesday and then forget it on a Thursday and then remember it 2 days later.
But he adds there was sympathy for Libby as well in that jury room, a feeling he was a scapegoat. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, U.S. District Court, Washington.
In a brief written statement, the vice president said he's very disappointed with the verdict. The defense plans to appeal, but in the meantime, CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen says Libby could be facing time behind bars.
Libby will be sentenced in early June. He will get some sort of a prison term, I believe. Then the open question will be whether he actually begins to serve that sentence while his appeal is pending or whether he is freed on bond.
Now this.
Don't risk an important presentation by letting just anyone print it. Trust Office Depot for guaranteed on-time, high-quality documents. Now, get a coupon for $5 off a $10 purchase of full-service black and white or color copies. Office Depot can print and copy almost anything and ship it almost anywhere. Let Office Depot lend you a hand.
Whoa, Office Depot!
See store for details.
Order! Order in the court!
It's time to render your decision. You've made up your mind, but you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and everyone's hanging on your every word.
I should have used Preparation H.
Quick recess!
Where is he going?
You should carry Preparation H portable wipes, the discreet way to get big relief. They're convenient little packets that hold very big wipes, so you can cleanse, cool, and soothe to get relief even when you're not at home.
Order! Now, my decision.
Preparation H portable wipes. Big relief to go. Use as directed.
President Bush, speaking to the American Legion today, announced that former Senator Bob Dole, wounded in World War II, and former Health and Human Services Secretary Donna Shalala will lead a commission to investigate military health care.
We have a moral obligation
to provide the best possible care and treatment to the men and women who served our country. They deserve it, and they're going to get it.
At today's hearing on the mess at Walter Reed, Army Surgeon General Kevin Kiley confirms suspicions that the problems are not isolated.
What's going on at Walter Reed in terms of the frustration of the staffs and the patients is probably mirrored to some extent in most of our other facilities, as I hear commanders talk to us about these issues.
The president told the veterans today that the new strategy in Iraq has produced gradual but important progress. CBS News national security correspondent David Martin reports the U.S. military buildup might be expanded from 21,500 to as many as 28,000 troops. At another hearing today, Congress looked into the recent firings of eight federal prosecutors and whether politics played a role.
The hearing showed evidence of some seamy political motives for the unusual firing, says Democrat Dianne Feinstein.
Amazingly, each revelation is more shocking than the one before.
David Iglesias was the federal prosecutor in New Mexico. He testified that state's powerful Republican Senator Pete Domenici called him at home, wanting to know if state Democrats he was investigating could be indicted before the November election.
And I said, I didn't think so. And to which he replied, I'm very sorry to hear that. And then the line went dead.
Domenici denies trying to intimidate Iglesias, but acknowledges he did urge the Justice Department to fire him. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
At lottery machines in the 12 Mega Million states, there's no time to chat.
Very busy.
Mm-hmm.
Never stopped, like crazy. Nixon line.
Those machines are smoking as people ignore the long odds and plunk down their money for a chance at the biggest lottery jackpot in U.S. history, $370 million. The winning numbers will be drawn 4 hours from now in New York's Times Square. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
This is Charles Osgood of the Osgood File. Emerging research suggests that eating foods naturally rich in antioxidants may help protect your memory. I think that's big news. Even more surprising is where to find those protective antioxidants. Did you know Welch's 100% grape juice has powerful antioxidants just like red wine? In fact, one independent study just ranked Welch's 100% grape juice the number one beverage for antioxidant capacity per serving among 1,000 foods tested. So if you want to help protect your memory, remember to drink delicious Welch's 100% grape juice every day. This is Charles Osgood. I'll see you on the Osgood File.
Hello?
Mr. Johnson, this is Greg's cell phone calling.
My son, Greg?
Yeah, I'm with him all the time. I know what's up.
Yeah? What's up?
Well, the other night, Greg was at this cat's crib, and he was smoking a blunt.
What? I'll put the fear into that kid?
No, I meant the other dude. Greg passed.
Still, if he was there, let me talk to Greg.
Hold up. G's taking a test right now. I'm turned off.
And then how can...
Try us back after school. That's prime time.
Talking. The anti-drug. Learn more at theantidrug.com. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming about 30 minutes from now, Jason Leopold in his weekly visit. Perfectly timed to review the verdict in the Libby trial. 4 out of 5, ain't bad. But first, has Alberto Gonzalez gone out of control, sacking his appointed U.S. attorneys across the country? And if so, what for? Some of the best reporting on this story has occurred online, and one of the great sources is Salon.com, and journalist Mark Fallman joins us this afternoon, F-O-L-L-M-A-N. Hello, Mark.
Hey, Peter.
Thanks for joining us.
Pleasure to be here.
This is quite a story, and I commend you on your diligence in helping to bring it to our attention.
Well,
and the corporate media joined the game just a little late, as usual, didn't they?
Yeah, it seems to have picked up quite a bit of steam now in the Washington Post and even the Times. The Post has actually done a pretty good job of being on it since the web outlets, namely Salon and really Talking Points Memo, started this whole thing off.
Mm-hmm.
But the Post is on some pretty good coverage of late.
Yeah, I give them credit on the Walter Reed story, which Salon also has been working on for, what, a year, year and a half?
Yeah, that's a story we started covering 2 years ago, in fact. And so it's interesting how much attention it's getting now, since the Post went and did the coverage, but it is something that we did much earlier.
The term enterprise comes to mind. It's a J-school term for taking the initiative to dig up a story, not waiting for somebody else to report it and then just seconding it. Do you feel enterprise is kind of a lost art in the corporate print biz?
Well, I don't know if I can say so generally, but I would say that, you know, outlets like Salon, you know, we try to cover things as much as possible that we think are important to, that need attention, and you know, what appears in the mainstream media and how is often more measured. So with a story like this one on the U.S. attorneys, it was pretty fascinating from the start, just looking at the particulars, because you had, you know, the administration firing its own appointees. So what might be behind that was a pretty fascinating question to me from the beginning. So.
And as an out-lefty, I have to say I find it a little bit curious that we've been spending a lot of time trying to alert people to what's going on, because it is a Republican-on-Republican feeding frenzy. And it appears the motivation here is to take out some people who are not sufficiently loyal and plug in some loyalists so that they can burnish their resumes and presumably wind up appointed to a lifetime federal judgeship.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's certainly one of the questions that has been raised about this whole thing. And it's, you know, the big question that remains with this story is why exactly has the administration turned around and fired eight of its own U.S. attorneys, which Bush appointed in 2001, and most of whom are Republicans. Two of them are actually declared independents, but nonetheless, all appointed by Bush. And I think a big part of that answer from all the people that I've spoken with is, in fact, this theory of bench building, meaning that they are looking to install people during the last 2 years of Bush's term who do have ties with the White House and who would then have better, you know, more polished resumes to go on to prestigious appointments in the next administration.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this has been one of the building blocks of Karl Rove, the architect of the neocon resurgence, whatever you want to call that.
Well, of course, you know, there's no proof of that at this point, but like I said, you know, many people I've spoken with, both in the Justice Department and formerly serving the Justice Department, believe that the political motivations behind this purge of the attorneys is focused, at least to some degree, on stacking people into positions in the future to carry on with the political agenda of the Bush administration. That said, there's also a lot of discussion going on around this story with policy, so-called policy differences, the idea that U.S. attorneys weren't towing the party line from Washington in with things like immigration or gun enforcement. I suspect that ultimately it's a combination of those things. There's a lot of debate today in the Senate hearing and House hearing about the supposed policy differences, but the U.S. attorneys who are testifying today are swinging back pretty hard, and it's quite interesting to see how they are knocking down the Bush administration's position on them having not performed adequately or having not followed their policies adequately, because they seem to have some pretty strong answers for how they were doing just fine.
Now, I want to ask you a little more about the hearings, because I didn't get to see any of it today. Mm-hmm. But I'm curious about something you just mentioned in there about towing the line regarding gun policy. I understand what the Bush administration's immigration policies are, but I'm pretty murky on what their gun policy is. Is it still the Ashcroft NRA rules and we will do nothing to impede the free flow of arms to private citizens?
Well, you know, I'm not in a position to say. I don't know that there is any one, you know, gun policy of the Bush administration. But the point here in the context of this story is that the administration has come out and said that, in effect, these U.S. attorneys that they're firing haven't performed adequately in their jobs in terms of carrying out the kinds of cases or the number of cases that they want to see prosecuted. Now, what that entails specifically is hard to say. There hasn't been much detail offered by the administration, but the U.S. attorneys themselves, and on gun control in particular, Dan Bogden, the U.S. attorney in Nevada who was forced out when he was having his last day last Wednesday, I spoke with him the day prior, and he talked about how his office has actually had more gun cases during his tenure than the one prior. So if the administration is interested in you know, more cases that are dealing with gun laws and cracking down on illegal firearms, then they had a U.S. attorney in Nevada doing that. And so why they may or may not have dismissed him based on that, you know, anybody's guess.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what did occur? There were two, I mean, there was a hearing in the House and a hearing in the Senate, presumably both before their respective judiciary committees. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. And let's talk about David Iglesias. He was the U.S. attorney in New Mexico. And he was sacked after Senator Domenici and, we believe, Congresswoman Heather Wilson intervened and complained about the way he was running that office.
Right. Well, so that's right. Iglesias has made some of the most explosive allegations that have come out in the last week or so. That, you know, he's contending that he was pressured by those two Republican lawmakers that you named, Domenici and Wilson, prior to the 2006 midterm elections. Iglesias was pursuing corruption charges against several state Democrats in New Mexico, and as you recall, corruption was a huge issue in this last round of elections and really hurt the Republicans in a number of places. And so it would seem to make sense that Republicans would be interested in a U.S. attorney pursuing Democrats on corruption charges, perhaps to take some of the heat off. And Iglesias is contending that he heard from them prior to the election. They wanted to know if he was going to bring charges before the election, and he wasn't planning to. So he's now saying that he believes at least part of the reason he was forced out was perhaps over that. Now, again, there's no proof of that, and both Domenici and Wilson have since denied, you know, there being any political motivation behind their calls to him, that they were trying to pressure him, et cetera.
But they
do admit calling him, but they're saying that there was no, you know, inappropriate intervention on their part. Hard to believe looking at it on its face. But
didn't Senator Domenici initially deny that he'd made the call?
I don't know that he denied it. He said that he wouldn't comment. I believe he did say to one reporter, I don't know what you're talking about, or I didn't know, I'm not aware of that, something to that effect.
Yeah.
But then he turned around and acknowledged that he had, in fact, called Iglesias.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Carol Lamb got the scalp of Duke Cunningham, who's now resting comfortably in a federal prison, the former congressman convicted of bribery, being bribed. And she was working to bring in some of the people who actually bribed him, Mitchell Wade and the others who reportedly lavished these gifts and cash and prostitutes on Congressman Cunningham. Do you think that she was sacked to interfere with that continuing prosecution?
Well, as you know, there's been a lot of speculation to that end, swirling in the media, and of course, it remains just that, speculation. There's no proof to date that that is a reason why she was sacked, but it certainly is very interesting that she was part of this group and was forced to resign precisely at the time that she was continuing to pursue people that were connected to Randy Duke Cunningham, who was by then already convicted.
Mm-hmm.
She did bring two more indictments before stepping down earlier this year. So, in fact, I believe it was the House, some of the House Democrats who called on the Justice Department and Attorney General Gonzalez to actually appoint her as an independent counsel once she was out of the position in order to continue the investigations that she was following related to Cunningham. And the Justice Department has since denied that request.
Very interesting. And some investigations have unearthed information that could lead to other Republican members of Congress from California, Jerry Lewis, who used to chair the Appropriations Committee, and Duncan Hunter, who is a candidate for president. So, you know, those are still reports, and we don't have any hard evidence there. But in the Lewis case, there's some very interesting testimony that's been developed so far. We're going to take a break and return. Our guest is from Salon.com, reporter Mark Fallman. We're talking about the change of the guard at the Justice Department and the reasons why these U.S. attorneys are being fired by the Bush administration. If you have a question or comment, bring it on now. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-577. 573-8372. 18 minutes after the hour, I'm Peter B. Collins. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
I am Attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
The days of wine and
the fastest growing disease in America is addiction. It's time we talk about it openly. This is Sheila Gale. Join me Saturday afternoons from 4 to 5 for 12-Step Talk Uncensored, where we deal with addiction. It's about time.
That wasn't there before.
The Billy Sunshine Show.
Billy Sunshine Show.
With P-Lar. With P-Lar.
Sunday at 3 o'clock, we're going to be doing something new, something different, or we'll do the same old thing, take your phone calls. One thing we know for sure, I'll have something to say. What? I don't know. I never know until I've said it. Find out what's the next thing to come out of my mouth.
The Billy Sunshine Show with P-Lar.
Sundays from 3 to 5.
3 to 5. On AM 540, KRXA.
Good afternoon. Let's check your drive in and around the Monterey Bay area. We're dealing with problems now in Felton. It's off the freeway system, but still, Mount Hermon Road and Graham Hill Road, it's a stall here. It is blocking one of the lanes. CHP is going to head out and deal with that. Meanwhile, let's go to Salinas, Old Stage Road at Herbert Road. An accident's been reported. Apparently, two cars involved. Doesn't look like injuries, so there's some good news, but it is blocking lanes of traffic. Keeping on the Salinas theme, let's talk about some slow traffic starting to pop up in Salinas. Both sides, actually, of Highway 68 are slow in pockets between Monterey and Salinas, and it's not any sort of a solid stretch yet, but it will get heavier. And northbound 101 also slow in the Salinas area, especially right now around the San Miguel Canyon turnoff. This look at traffic brought to us all by Office Depot. Now at Office Depot, get a coupon for $5 off a $10 purchase of full-service black and white color copies. Let Office Depot lend you a hand. See store for details. That's traffic on KRXA 540.
Go, starting another war. We got our heads up our asses. You know, we're really bored.
You've got the Peter B. Collins Show.
Republicans, and people say we act like clowns. We love natural disasters. Did somebody really drown? We lie whenever we want to. Yeah, you know it's true. And if you don't believe us, turn on the nightly news. Hey, hey, we're the Republicans, and people say we act like clowns.
Yes, it's a GOP on GOP feeding frenzy as Alberto Gonzalez has sacked at least 8 U.S. attorneys across the country. And we're trying to figure out exactly what the motivation is and how this may affect the proceedings in the various jurisdictions where these people have been fired. And we're talking with Mark Fallman from Salon.com. That's where you can read his stories about this ongoing situation. And, Mark, when you look at this picture and you hear Gonzalez maintain to Senator Feinstein that he's not really going to discuss this because it's personnel issues, it's performance-related, and then you interviewed virtually every one of these individuals who's been fired, and to a person, they're not aware of any performance issues that led to their dismissals. And we also don't know if others may have been quietly fired, but the resignation or dismissal hasn't yet surfaced. Some of these were kept under wraps for, what, 6 to 8 weeks?
Yeah, well, I think it's certainly possible that we'll see more come out along these lines, perhaps other attorneys that were fired, more indications as to the real reasons why some of these attorneys were fired. You know, going back to the question at the outset of the segment, you know, the question why have they done this continues to be very interesting, because in a sense this whole thing may not have ever become a story had Justice Department officials not stood up and said, hey, we're firing these people essentially for performance related reasons, meaning they didn't do their jobs well. And when you started to look at who they were firing, it became clear pretty quickly that at least some of them were not only good at their job, they were great. They were leaders among the U.S. attorneys and in their regional law enforcement communities.
Now, you do cite that Kevin Ryan, the San Francisco U.S. attorney, had been widely reported to be a focus of management complaints. Any details on that?
I don't have any details on that. That's something that has been reported in the press for several weeks. Apparently, if that's true about Ryan, then you know he would appear to be something of an outlier in this group, because the rest really, I haven't seen any evidence to date that shows them having significant performance or policy disputes with the Justice Department. And if they did, they never heard about them. They were never told about them. There was no documentation of them.
Yeah, you quote Bogdan from Nevada, to this day, I've never been told of any deficiencies in my performance or that of my office. I've never been called by anyone suggesting I should do something differently on policy or that I was going against their policy.
Right. Yeah, and that's really what almost all of them have said publicly since this story started breaking open. And I think it's really interesting that today so much of the debate in the Senate and House hearings has been about policy differences, because really the focus of my story, which was confirmed today in Senate testimony, was that perhaps the prevailing reason here among several for why this has happened is, again, going back to the bench-building theory, that the administration essentially decided to push out a number of people in order to replace their slots with people that they felt were perhaps more closely aligned to the ideology of the administration, who are more closely connected to the Justice Department leaders in Washington, D.C. Daniel Bogdan and Paul Charlton, the U.S. attorneys in Nevada and Arizona, respectively, have both said this now publicly today in testimony, that they were both told by the Associate Attorney General, Bill Mercer, that they were being pushed out in order to give other Bush appointees a shot at their jobs so that they could have a better resume going forward, so that they might have a shot at becoming a federal judge.
Now, why would Gonzalez do this in such a crude way? Usually, when you want to create a vacancy, you give somebody another job. So, you know, put him in charge of at one of the tribunals at Gitmo, or make him ambassador to Micronesia.
Well, I mean, I can't speculate as to the thinking of Alberto Gonzalez and how this might have otherwise worked, except to say that it does seem pretty clear that the way that they've handled this whole thing in the public view has been extremely poor. And Bush officials have admitted as much, none of them by name in the press, but you know, they've had many contradictory messages about how this was done and why it was done, and that just pours fuel on the fire in terms of suspicions about why this may really have been carried out.
Mm-hmm. Mark, about 30 seconds remaining. Anything you want to mention that we haven't touched on?
Well, I guess I would just say the one other thing that this story raises that I think is quite interesting is it points to the notion of what the Bush administration continues to do in terms of executive power. I mean, I think after the midterm elections, the perception was that, you know, the White House is on the wane because of a now democratically controlled Congress. But I think this story shows that the administration's interest in expanding executive power and doing it in unprecedented ways is very much alive and well, and there may well be more of this in the next 2 years before it's over.
Mark Fallman, thank you for joining us. He spells his name F-O-L-L-M-A-N. Read his work at Salon.com. Thanks, Mark.
Yeah, thank you, Peter.
All right. Coming up next, Jason Leopold checks in. There's a verdict in the Libby trial. We'll talk about it next.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
For over 30 years, I have been helping people restore their skin's natural beauty. This is Claudie Assalit of Claudie Skincare Studio in Carmel. I bring a certain je ne sais quoi as well as 3 decades of experience in top spas and salons. Claudie Skincare Studio features a selection of the finest products, and I am always training to stay at the cutting edge of skincare technology. At Claudie Skincare Studio, we specialize in healing facials, peels, Reiki, waxing, lash tinting, as well as nutritional advice to ensure your skin vibrancy and good health. To set up an appointment, call me Claudie Assalit at 625-4101. That is 625-4101. Smooth, soft, beautiful skin can be yours. Call 625-4101. A bientôt.
How much medical care does flag waving buy? This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Look at this headline. Behind the walls of Ward 54, traumatized vets say the Army is failing them. The story tracks a dozen soldiers at Walter Reed Hospital and finds cases like specialist Alex Soto Ramirez, reported by friends to be angry and despondent after a service in Iraq, and who eventually hung himself in Ward 54. President Bush is now launching his own investigation of Walter Reed, but Senator Patty Murray, who serves on the Senate's Committee on Veterans Affairs, isn't impressed. She's not impressed because that story I was reading about Specialist Ramirez isn't the famous one from the Washington Post. It ran February 18, 2005 on Salon.com, 2 years ago, and it was ignored, just as Senator Murray's warnings have been ignored.
Only 40% of the Army and Navy's active duty licensed clinical psychologist positions are filled. Only 40% of them are even filled.
Senator Murray's been warning for years that care for veterans was being cut to save money. But she got little attention because whatever else you thought about the president, you had to believe he was sincere about supporting the troops.
Whatever our differences in Washington, our men and women in uniform deserve to know that once our politicians vote to send them into harm's way, our support will be with them in good days and bad.
It sounded great. But it wasn't true.
30% of the men and women we send to Iraq and Afghanistan come home with what is termed a mental disorder. Less than half of them ever receive care.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and pop-up ads invade your business every day through email, web browsing, and instant messaging. And the fastest way to stop them is with Barracuda Network's spam firewalls and web filters. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM now and ask for your free trial. Barracuda Network's firewalls are affordable and easy to use. That's why over 35,000 leading companies are using the award-winning firewall. Try a Barracuda firewall for free. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or go online to barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
One Day Income Tax Service, family owned and operated since 1944, specializes in year-round professional tax preparation. Do you want your refund quickly? Stop by One Day Income Tax Service. They offer tax preparation at reasonable rates and work to meet the needs of military families with the capacity to process all out-of-state returns. If you prefer to prepare your own return at home, they can help you expedite your refund by filing your return electronically. Let One Day Income Tax Service assist you with your return and maximize your refund. Stop by 885 Broadway Avenue in Seaside, where no appointment is necessary. Looking for quick, professional, and reasonable tax return preparation? Visit One Day Income Tax Service, 885 Broadway Avenue, Seaside, or call 394-8010. That's 831-394-8010. One Day Income Tax Service, where you walk in with a copy of your most recent tax return, personal ID, and W-2 1099 info for 2006, and you walk out with your completed tax return.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
This is the day we've been waiting for. A verdict finally in the trial of Irving Lewis Scooter Libby.
As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I take a look at my life and realize it's not enough. Cause I've been blasting and laughing so long that even my mama thinks that my mind is gone. But I ain't never crossed a man that didn't deserve it. Me be treated like a punk, you know that's unheard of. You better watch how you're talking and where you're walking, or you and your homies might be lying to chalk. I really hate the trip, but I gotta low. As they cope, I see myself in the pistol smoke. Fool, I'm the kind of cheater little homies wanna be like. On my knees in the night, saying prayers in the streetlight.
Yes, Washington, D.C., under Republican control, is a gangster's paradise. They maintain secrets, they spy, they lie, they leak, they smear with incredible impunity. And finally, a fall guy has been brought to justice, more or less. It's bittersweet for me, and we'll talk about it in a moment. But let's go to Jason Leopold, the man who has worked long and hard to bring us detailed coverage of the CIA leak case and the various characters who populated it. Only one was singled out for prosecution, and the jury returned the verdict in 4 of 5 counts, naming Scooter Libby guilty of perjury and obstruction of justice. Jason Leopold from truthout.org, also the author of a personal memoir called News Junkie, is our go-to guy on this story, and he joins us today. Hey, Jason, congratulations, kinda.
Hey, Peter, thanks. Well, you know, I still want to sort of maintain that... I don't know, reporter's objectivity. I mean, does that even exist anymore these days? You know, certainly the coverage since the verdict was returned would, you know, beg that question.
Indeed.
But it was a pretty, I would say that this was a very important day. Certainly, you know, one of the things that I had been discussing with some colleagues is that, you know, even though Scooter Libby enjoyed the protection that came with being a member of the Bush administration and a member or a close confidant of Vice President Cheney, he was still found guilty. He was found guilty of 4 felonies. And, you know, whatever happens at this point remains to be seen in terms of, you know, whether he will actually even serve any time in jail. But I think that this is really... this really demonstrates that, you know, a couple of things. One, that certainly, you know, even those that we think are the most powerful, you know, certainly are not invulnerable, if you will.
Well, he is an example of that. But this leads to my disappointment today that in a post-trial news conference that Patrick Fitzgerald said he's done.
You know, I've got to say that is incredibly disappointing. And during the course of the past, 5-6 hours, I've been on the phone with, you know, members of Congress, you know, some former attorneys, prosecutors, and everyone is sort of scratching their heads about that statement and just about the fact that this, in fact, will likely be over, at least from his point of view, Fitzgerald's point of view.
And he said the investigation has been inactive since this trial began.
Yeah. And, you know, again, it really, there's certainly... is a lot of unanswered questions. And, you know, if that's the case, well, that was inactive since the trial began, I would imagine that it perhaps hasn't been inactive for, you know, the course of almost a year. It's really hard to tell, and I certainly wished I was there so I could have, you know, asked additional questions. But, you know, a lot of people are disappointed, and a lot of officials are disappointed simply because of what we heard during closing arguments and during the course of the trial from Fitzgerald himself.
Yeah.
Regarding the role that Vice President Cheney played. I think that, you know, maybe from a, you know, I'm not a lawyer, but from a legal standpoint, you know, he made it very clear that, you know, one of the serious charges that Libby was found guilty of was obstruction of justice. And it was during the trial that Fitzgerald had sort of alluded to the fact that Vice President Cheney played a larger role, but he was unable, or his staff was unable to really sort of, you know, go after that or determine the exact role because Scooter Libby obstructed justice. So I think the question, you know, the question is, why is this investigation just sort of over and done with? I mean, it's sort of, in a way, it is anticlimactic when, you know, with that statement.
Well, and it begs so many frickin' questions, Jason. It just, you know, leads us to believe that while it's laudable that Patrick Fitzgerald, who is a Republican, pursued this particular prosecution with, some smarts,
right,
and, you know, some real vigor, and he distinguished himself in the courtroom. But as you just pointed out, in the closing arguments, he raised issues about the cloud over Dick Cheney, over the vice president's office.
And
in the news conference, he backpedaled from that.
Yeah.
And said, well, I was just responding to an argument from the defense. And, they said that we had placed a cloud over Scooter Libby and the White House. And I was simply responding to that. But I think that's a cop-out.
It is, and I have to say that, you know, I think that it's really crucial at this point that Congress, take charge of this and literally get their hands dirty, because this is just, a small piece of a much larger puzzle, a bigger pie, whatever, you know, metaphor you want to use. And we know that the involvement, that first of all, that not only Cheney's involvement, but, various other officials who were, involved in this, and for, to not have answers, at least, to not really have answers, to those lingering questions is incredibly disappointing.
Well, and one of those questions is something that you have agonized over for the last 9 or 10 months.
Oh, my God.
And that is that you reported, based on some very careful investigation and some well-placed sources, that there was a sealed indictment at the Washington courthouse, sealed versus sealed is the way it's labeled, and you reported, based on the representations of key sources, that Karl Rove had been indicted in this process.
Right.
And I would certainly love to get some clarity from Mr. Fitzgerald on that process, and at minimum, he should release Rove's attorney to share with us whatever correspondence he received that he then represented as exoneration of Karl Rove.
Yeah, and I should also, you know, indicate that, you know, Karl Rove's attorney can certainly release that if he would like. And in fact, I'm not sure if I mentioned this on your show, but we at Truth Out had sent a registered letter to Karl Rove's attorney and made numerous phone calls in hopes of obtaining this letter. It was drafted by our Mark Ash, the executive director of Truth Out, and simply, you know, asking in order to, you know, put to rest any sort of speculation, and the speculation is still there simply because, well, not just as a result of my story, but just from what we know, what does this letter say? So that is a big part of, this whole, all of these questions that remain unanswered. And Patrick Fitzgerald certainly, you know, indicated today that he had a lot of evidence that unless, you know, Congress asks for it, he's not going to volunteer it. And he certainly has a lot of information, in his possession that, This has been almost 4 years that this investigation is going on.
But he's going to pack up his trench coat and go back to Chicago.
Yeah,
he said
that we're going, you know, we're going back to our day jobs, and unless, you know, other information comes forward, I can't imagine that anyone is going to voluntarily at this point, you know, provide information. I mean, if he hasn't over 3.5 years obtained enough info, if you will, mm-hmm. That would, you know, actually keep this cloud over the vice president and other officials, then, you know, I think that he really sort of needs to explain himself.
Well, Jason, I want to cite here a quote from one of the jurors. We knew the description of this man, and now we know his name. By the way, he's no relation to me. His name is Dennis with one N, Dennis Collins. He is a retired Washington Post reporter, and he spoke to active reporters today after the verdict was announced. And he said, quote, I will say there was a tremendous amount of sympathy for Mr. Libby on the jury. It was said a number of times, what are we doing with this guy here? Where's Rove? Where are these other guys? I'm not saying we didn't think Mr. Libby was guilty of the things we found him guilty of. It seemed like he was, as Mr. Wells put it. He was the fall guy. Now, with that comment, it's really hard to reconcile Patrick Fitzgerald saying, I did a great job, and it's all over and in the rearview mirror now.
Right, exactly. And I believe that, first of all, again, you know, since he's very much by the book, he said that he had to honor grand jury secrecy. And that's why I said that in order to get answers, we have a Democratic majority in Congress now, both houses. They need to, you know, whether it's issuing subpoenas or calling him before some sort of committee to explain his investigation. That is something that I think is they're required to do. And I say that simply because I know that there is, you know, under grand jury secrecy, under those laws, Patrick Fitzgerald's not able to discuss certain information, but, you know, we kind of feel short. I shouldn't even say feel. We were shortchanged.
Yeah, I mean, the evidence that is on the record, either through the discovery process or through the books that have been written, news accounts, and even the representations of some of these key players, like Armitage, who,
right,
you know, has publicly now acknowledged his role in this.
Right.
There clearly exist the elements of a potential indictment against Dick Cheney, against some of the other people who were part of the White House Iraq group, including Karl Rove.
Yeah. What's very interesting, by the way, following that, is that some of the some of the pundits, if you will, on some of the cable shows have actually said that, you know, for the first time, that it really appeared that Cheney was the one who told Scooter Libby to not just discuss Valerie Plame, but to literally leak her name, to pass this information along. And in fact, that Vice President Cheney, you know, is so involved. When is he going to come out and say anything? When are we going to hear from him? We have heard from him today, which he said he was very saddened, and that Scooter Libby did a great service to his country. But, you know, he testified before. I believe that he had provided testimony to Patrick Fitzgerald, if not someone else on his staff. And, you know, what did he say? What did President Bush say? I mean, these are things that, that are still lingering, that still hang out there.
And even his carefully parsed phrase in the fall of 2004 during the campaign, that if somebody in my administration leaked classified information, I want to know about it, and they won't be part of my administration anymore.
Right.
I think it's time for Cheney to honor that and exit. We got to take a break, Jason. We'll return in just a moment. If you have a question or a comment about the outcome of the Libby trial, you can call us right now, toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540. Thank you.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
It's tax time again. And there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund as soon as you need it. In 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, the choice is yours. The personnel at Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax return tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today, located at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to take a copy of your 2005 federal and California returns and W-2 1099 info for 2006. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today at 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville.
Let's take a look at that drive home in and around the Monterey Bay area. This look is brought to us all by your genuine Toyota service departments. Through March, a visit to your local participating Toyota service center could win you two tickets to the Toyota Save Mart 350. No purchase is necessary. See dealer for official rules. On these highways, we're looking at slow traffic. It's pretty typical now along southbound Highway 1 in pockets between Monterey and Carmel. Also not surprising that we're seeing more brake lights now along Highway 25 for eastbounders between Gilroy and Hollister. As far as problems in Felton off the freeway system, Mount Hermon Road and Graham Hill Road still a stall. It is still blocking one of the lanes of traffic. And in Salinas, Old Stage Road to Herbert Road, watch for an accident that has been reported there as well. Two cars are involved. Also in the Del Monte Forest, new problems. 17-mile drive at Crespi Lane. A crash now off to the right-hand shoulder. Two vehicles are involved. I'm Alex. That's traffic on KRXA 540.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. More on the Libby verdict with Jason Leopold in just a moment, but we interrupt our broadcast for the fictional portion of our broadcast day. I've got a dispatch from Andy Borowitz.
Don't believe me about each other.
And the headline reads, Bush strips Libby of nickname. Just hours after Vice President Dick Cheney's former chief of staff, I. Lewis Scooter Libby, was found guilty in his trial relating to the CIA leak scandal, Libby suffered another setback as President George W. Bush officially stripped him of his nickname in a somber White House ceremony. Scooter Libby, you are Scooter Libby no more, Bush declared to the applause of Cheney and top White House aides. You are now just plain old I. Lewis Libby. Bush told reporters he decided to strip Libby of his nickname because I hardly knew the man. Referring to Libby's trial, Bush said, just like Lewis Libby can't remember anything he did in the 5 years he worked here, I can't remember him working here at all. White House spokesman Tony Snow said that Libby's former nickname Scooter would likely be reassigned to someone else in the upper echelon of the administration. We may start calling Postmaster General John Potter Scooter Potter, Snow said. It's a good nickname for the Postmaster General because it makes him sound all speedy and everything. For his part, Libby was philosophical about being convicted on 4 of 5 counts in his perjury trial, telling reporters, 1 out of 5 ain't bad. This verdict means I was telling the truth 20% of the time, Libby said. That's still way above average for this administration. Jason Leopold returns now on the Peter B. Collins Show. Interesting how Andy Borowitz is kind of channeling Bush's denial of knowing the Enron chief.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because I was actually saying that this is, or discussing with some folks, that this is, in a sense, this is a sort of a white-collar crime in that Scooter Libby will remain free while the appeals process, you know, goes into the wheels start turning on that. You know, and there could be quite a while before anything, any action takes place regarding, you know, whether or not he's exhausted all of his resources.
Well, Jason,
regarding that.
React to this, because I was thinking about that today, and I used the phrase running out the clock.
Right.
What Libby's going to do is use the appeals process to buy time till the fall of 2008 after the election has occurred, and somewhere between Thanksgiving and Inauguration Day, I expect George W. Bush to pardon him. And buying time or running out the clock has been the M.O. in this scandal from the get-go, because once it went public, what they tried to do was push it out past the 2004 election.
Right.
They succeeded in doing that by putting the press on trial, by using the whole gambit that it was Tim Russert who told Libby this, and therefore we've got to put reporters on the stand. And that whole angle, plus the what we've talked about before, the lengthy discovery of materials that ultimately weren't used at the trial, that bought a lot of time and delayed this whole trial to this point.
Right.
So it got past the midterm elections, and it really has much less political impact as a result.
Exactly, and I think that that's certainly what Scooter Libby's attorneys are going to pursue. I mean, running out the clock is in their best interest. I mean, first of all, he gets to remain free while the appeals process gets underway. They're going to file a motion to have a new trial. That'll be denied. Then they'll file for an appeal. Sentencing is set for June. That will likely be pushed up. We'll see that go down the road, no doubt. And I firmly believe that President Bush will pardon him. I can't see Scooter Libby spending a day in jail. This is what was very interesting is that President Bush's response to this matter, speaking through his spokeswoman, he was very sad for Scooter Libby and his family, and Vice President Cheney said the same thing. Joe Wilson, during a conference call with reporters this afternoon, I thought what he said was poignant in that, they expressed sadness for Scooter Libby, but both Cheney and Bush have yet to express any sort of apology or sadness or that they put Valerie Plame Wilson or that they Valerie Plame Wilson's life was put in danger as a result of this by Cheney, by Cheney and Libby and others. And it really just goes to show you how the administration has viewed this case all along. It's really not an issue for them. The fact that, Scooter Libby, was on trial, I think that to some degree, he was the fall guy. The unfortunate part of it, however, is that the special prosecutor is not pursuing additional charges.
Yeah, and it looked like this was going to be step one, and that he would get a conviction here and then use pressure on Libby through the sentencing process to get him to, become a witness against others.
Right.
And, by throwing in the towel on that today, Fitzgerald revealed himself as somebody who is not really committed to getting to the bottom of all this.
Yeah, and not in addition to that, I think that, we need answers. And I'm certainly going to pursue, a way to try and get his office to provide some sort of, elaborate a bit on, why they're not keeping this open. Why they, based on what the evidence is and what he said during the closing arguments, what happens? Why are they taking this route? Of course, that may be naive on my part for not really understanding fully how the, federal law works. I know that Scooter Libby was, it was very specific, perjury, lying to investigators, obstruction of justice. But again, the evidence that Fitzgerald presented certainly cast Dick Cheney in a very dark, light.
Yeah, let's take a quick call. Dennis in King City. Go ahead, Dennis, you're on the air.
Yeah, Peter, real quick, isn't this a great time for us to bring up the documents, the PNAC document to start, and then the Downing Street memos, and then Clark's book, O'Neill's book, and bring it all back to the beginning to show what a liar Bush has been the whole time.
Well, yeah, but I didn't need that evidence.
But
as a juror, I've already voted to convict on that charge.
No, I'm talking about the demos. Why aren't the Dems right now attacking? This is the perfect opportunity.
It is part of the culture of corruption. I certainly agree with that.
The Downing Street members back up exactly what they did to Wilson.
Jason, a quick comment?
You know, I think that that is a great question. I think that that is something that some members of Congress actually today did say that they sort of want to hold additional hearings on, you know, again, pre-war intelligence and try to perhaps fold this issue into that.
Yeah.
Again, you know, at the end of the day, the fact that this happened, that we know what happened, I think we can have 20 million hearings.
Right. Jason, I'm out of time. Thanks for your hard work on this. We'll talk again soon.
Peter.
Dennis,
thanks
for the call. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Scooter Libby, Vice President Dick Cheney's former chief of staff and the only person indicted in connection with the CIA leak case, was convicted on most counts today. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato was there.
The jury of seven women and four men filed into the blonde paneled courtroom here to deliver the verdicts on the 10th day of deliberations. One juror, former Washington Post reporter Dennis Collins, says while it's clear Libby was guilty of lying and obstructing the probe of the outing of CIA officer Valerie Plame Wilson, he was a White House sacrificial lamb.
He was the fog guy. What are we doing with this guy here? Where's Rove? Where's, you know, where are these other guys?
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, U.S. District Court, Washington.
I'm Mark Knoller at the White House. Choosing his words carefully, Vice President Cheney says he's very disappointed by the verdict in the Libby case. Referring to his former chief of staff as Scooter, Cheney says he feels sad for him and his family. In a brief written statement, the Vice President repeated his view that Libby served the nation tirelessly and with great distinction. But Cheney says he won't say more, as the Libby case may be appealed.
Former Ambassador Joe Wilson, whose wife it was who was outed, thinks Libby got off easy.
Convicting him of perjury and obstruction of justice is like convicting Al Capone of tax evasion or Alger Hiss of two charges of perjury. It doesn't mean that they were not guilty of other crimes.
President Bush promised a commission to investigate patient care at military hospitals. Now it's starting to take shape.
I've asked two distinguished public servants to lead the commission, and they have accepted. Senator Bob Dole and former Secretary of Health and Human Services Donna Shalala.
He spoke to the American Legion today. Dole, badly wounded in World War II, says the commission will look at military and veterans hospitals nationwide. Before the troop surge in Iraq is over, CBS News correspondent David Martin reports it's likely to be bigger than originally planned.
The number of troops was originally advertised as 21,500, but that number has slowly crept up with the addition of support troops for the combat units, and with inevitable additions such as helicopter units to provide more mobility. And so the current estimate is that now the total number number of troops will go as high as 27 or 28,000.
And the Army's been told to plan for sustaining the increased troop level into the early part of next year. Tonight's Mega Millions lottery jackpot is up to $370 million, so even people who don't think they have a chance are taking a chance.
I'll never win. Too many people playing.
The drawing will be held in 3 hours. Ernest Gallo, who with his late brother Julio built the world's largest winemaking business, died today at his home in Modesto, California. He was 97. The Dow up 157 points today. This is CBS News.
Brenda Coates is a real GEICO customer, not a paid celebrity. So to help tell her story, we hired Mr. Burt Bacharach.
Last year, I was rear-ended by a GEICO customer.
I was hit in the rear.
First thought in my mind was about that funny lizard.
Lizard licks his eyeball.
I was so impressed with how they handled my claim, I switched.
I hope I'll never get hit in the rear again.
GEICO. Real service, real savings.
Get the good stuff!
One of the most stylish accessories available at your local Napa Auto Parts store isn't for your car. It's for your head. It's the all-new 2007 Napa Racing Hat, and it can be yours free. Just bring any old hat to your local Napa Auto Parts store, and you can swap it for this cool new Napa Racing Hat. Hats are free with any purchase at participating Napa locations while supplies last. Limit one per customer. Napa. Get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff!
Couples trying to conceive might want to get on the scale and see if weight is a factor. CBS News reporter Vicki Barker has the story from London.
It's already been established that weight can affect fertility in both women and men. Now, doctors writing in the journal Human Reproduction say overweight and obese couples are three times more likely than normal weight couples to have to wait more than a year to get pregnant. The doctors say that has some pretty profound implications for much of the industrialized world, where obesity levels are rising and fertility rates are falling. Barker, CBS News, London.
The high fat content in the Atkins diet remains controversial, but when it comes to losing weight, a Stanford University study found that Atkins is more effective than the Zone, the Ornish diet, or following government guidelines. Researchers found the overweight women on the Atkins diet lost more pounds over a year than women using the other plans. Part of the reason, they say, is that more women were able to stick to the Atkins diet. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Don't risk an important presentation by letting just anyone print it. Trust Office Depot for guaranteed on-time, high-quality documents. Now, get a coupon for $5 off a $10 purchase of full-service black and white or color copies. Office Depot can print and copy almost anything and ship it almost anywhere. Let Office Depot lend you a hand.
Whoa, Office Depot!
See store for details.
Order! Order in the court!
It's time to render your decision. You've made up your mind, but you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and everyone's hanging on your every word.
I should have used Preparation H. Quick recess!
Where's he going?
You should carry Preparation H portable wipes, the discreet way to get big relief. They're convenient little packets that hold very big wipes, so you can cleanse, cool, and soothe to get relief even when you're not at home.
Order! Now, my decision.
Preparation H portable wipes. Big relief to go. Use as directed.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
The story is true. Dragnet.
You got a lot of repressed information, don't you, Scooter?
Don't you, Friday? Don't you, Friday?
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, wide open for your phone calls in the free speech zone this hour. The whole switchboard is empty right now, so if you jump in, it'll be quick. You won't spend a long time on hold. I want to hear your reaction to the verdict in the Libby trial. And maybe Steve from Phoenix will call in to invite us to the Libby exoneration party at his house tonight. I mean, after all, they acquitted him on one of the charges. That'll probably be enough for Steve. You can call the program right now, toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And I'm dying to hear your thoughts about this verdict in Washington today. And I have a little primer here to help you out as you watch corporate media coverage and the inevitable spin that will come from the White House and its operatives on the Libby trial. They will try to minimize his role and make it appear that this is just a wayward prosecutor that got way off track and went way too far, and that a pardon from the president is certainly warranted in this case. Media Matters for America, their website's mediamatters.org, they've put together a list of the likely spin angles that will surface here and some instant refutation. Here are a couple of examples. One of the things I expect to hear is there's no evidence that the leak of Valerie Plame Wilson's identity compromised national security. Now, we know that Brewster Jennings was a front organization that was exposed when they exposed Valerie Plame Wilson. And we know that that entity, that cover group, was working on exploring weapons of mass destruction, first in Iraq and then in Iran. And so by compromising those efforts, there is a real cost to these disclosures that we know came out of the White House. Media Matters writes, some media figures critical of the CIA leak case have attempted to downplay its significance by claiming that no evidence exists that the public disclosure of Plame's identity compromised national security. In fact, news reports have indicated that the CIA believed the damage caused by the leak was serious enough to warrant an investigation, and that the subsequent disclosure of Plame's CIA front company likely put other agents' work at risk as well. Further, Fitzgerald stated that Plame's identity had been protected by the CIA, not just for the officer, but for the nation's security. And in their recently published book, Hubris, he works for The Nation, and Newsweek investigative correspondent Michael Isikoff reported that at the time of the leak, Plame was the chief of operations for the CIA's Joint Task Force on Iraq, which mounted espionage operations to gather information on the WMD programs that Iraq might have had. Another allegation you can expect to hear, despite the fact that he's a Republican, is that Fitzgerald is a partisan prosecutor. Over the course of the CIA leak investigation and the Libby trial, conservative media figures have attempted to cast Fitzgerald as a prosecutor run amok who is engaged in the criminalization of politics. But Fitzgerald's background and record undermine that suggestion that his pursuit of Libby was politically motivated. So those are a couple of the themes that you're probably going to hear if you can find any coverage on this case, if they, you know, put Anna Nicole and Britney Spears and some of the other tabloid stories aside and actually cover this. I think it'll be very interesting to see both the tone and the type of spin that we can expect. 888-5, Peter B. is our toll-free number. I'm welcoming your calls and your reaction to this verdict here on the Free Speech Zone today. First up, it's Joe in Brookings, Oregon. Welcome, Joe. You're on the air.
Yeah, well, the thing I've heard about Peter Fitzgerald is...
Patrick.
Excuse me.
That's okay.
Yes. Anyway, some of these big shots I've heard on the radio that they think he really can't go forward unless he gets unless he can get Scooter Libby to snitch on Dick Cheney, Karl Rove, and the gang.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why he's come out with the comments he came out with. He couldn't really come out and say any more than that. But yeah, I mean, you know, to me though, a lot of this court process is a big waste of time. And the Democrats in Congress should be doing something about this. They're the ones really in a position to do something about all this. Because remember when, the Enron guy, Kenley?
Kenny Boy.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. He gets sentenced, and then what was it? There was supposed to be like a 3 or 4 month period or whatever it was between the time he got sentenced. Between the time he was found guilty and the time he was supposed to get sentenced, and then lo and behold, look at what happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't know. I mean, you know, not to cast any doubt on what might happen, but I mean, here it is March, and they're talking about, oh well, Scooter Libby's not supposed to get sentenced until June.
Right.
You know, this whole thing it just takes too long through the court process. You know, who knows if somebody's going to get to this guy before June?
Well, the thing is, I think that he's in pretty good position to survive this, because even if you assign the darkest motives and practices to the Bush administration, they can't afford to have him, you know, run over by a bus or whatever incident you want to dream up. He and his lawyers have a lot of information on Bush and on Cheney. And so I don't think that he is somebody who can be dispensed with or terminated, you know, to use the term in the black world. So the other thing that I think is worth pointing out, Joe, is that right before he joined the Bush administration as chief of staff to Dick Cheney, Scooter Libby spent the preceding year trying to get Bill Clinton to give a presidential pardon to Mark Rich. We don't know exactly how much Libby was paid, but presumably it was a lot. He was a lawyer in private practice, and here he was, a lifelong Republican, a neocon who signed the PNAC documents. Scooter Libby worked with the Clinton White House, and the very last thing that Bill Clinton did just before he went to witness the inauguration of George W. Bush was sign the pardon documents for Mark Rich. Now, if there's anybody who knows how to get a presidential pardon, isn't it Scooter?
Oh, you know, that could be, but, you know, that's interesting you mentioned that. You know, and you got Hillary doing fundraisers of Rupert Murdoch, Bill Clinton, you know, he's big buddies with Bush Sr., you know, and I, you know, yet I hear all these idiots on Airhead America talk about, oh, God, if we can only go back to the days of Bill Clinton. You know, and that idiot wound up giving us 12 years of a Republican Congress. You know, no thank you. I would like a fresh start with a new government.
I'm with you, Joe. Now, let me turn to one other thing, because yesterday I mentioned this, and I think we got one call, but he didn't get on the air. Your public libraries there in Jackson County are facing extinction.
Oh, yeah. Jackson County, that's like 100 miles to the east of me.
Oh, okay. So
yeah, but I know all about it. And, yeah, there is a possibility that all their libraries are in Jackson County of Oregon could all go dark.
Yeah, as soon as a month from now.
And we got a few other library districts around here. They're still open, but they're a complete joke.
So they've got buildings but no recent books. Is that it?
Yeah, you got one like that down in Crescent City, California. That library district is a complete joke. They had an election down Del Mar County last year, California.
Mm-hmm.
The voters were asked to vote for a quarter of a cent increase in the sales tax.
Right.
So they could have the library open 7 days a week, because they got this stupid double majority rule or something.
Super majority,
because it didn't pass by a two-thirds margin.
Correct.
It went down like by literally by something like 50 votes or something.
Jeez.
So that library system there, it continues to be a complete joke.
Well, that's
even though it's still open.
Yeah, that's the legacy of Proposition 13, which, of course, we're not allowed to modify or amend. Arnold would make me do 100 push-ups if I even mentioned it. Joe, thanks for the call today. Great to hear from Brookings, Oregon. I got a couple of lines open if you'd like to react to the verdict in the Libby trial. Call me now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. More of your calls straight ahead on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Post Graduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Check that drive home in and around the Monterey Bay area. Dealing with slow traffic pretty typically. First off, this report is brought to us again by Office Depot. Now at Office Depot, get a coupon for $5 off a $10 purchase of full-service black and white or color copies. Let Office Depot lend you a hand. See store for details. On these highways, again, some typical slow traffic eastbound and westbound Highway 156. Kind of slow in pockets both directions between Castroville and San Juan Bautista. Also eastbound Highway 83. Slower traffic now in pockets again between Castroville and Salinas. Speaking of Salinas, still dealing with this wreck, Old Stage Road at Herbert Road. Apparently a crash here with two cars involved, but it's a non-injury wreck. And Del Monte Forest, 17-mile drive at Crespi Lane. Looks like an accident here off to the right-hand shoulder. Two vehicles are involved in this and some minor injuries, so watch for emergency crews. I'm Alex Daly. That's traffic on KRXA 540.
We got a president so bad, gotta be the worst we ever had. Got the job 'cause of his dad, now we're all in danger. He come around up to no good, broke the old treaties 'cause he could. Struts all around like a hood, got us in a world of trouble. Put him in a straitjacket, there's no doubt. Let the psychiatrist figure him out. Listen while the demonstrators cheer and shout. We'll all feel better in the morning.
It's the Free Speed Zone on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm taking your calls toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372 is our number. You can comment on the Libby trial or anything else that's in the news or on your mind. 888-573-8372 is our number. A quick program note. For some time now, listeners of KGOE in Eureka who tune in and call into this program have asked us to get Congressman Mike Thompson on to explain his current position on Iraq and how to get American troops out.
And apparently a lot of you have been calling his office because we got a message today from his press aide, and it was a two-parter. One is, Mike Thompson will appear on the Peter B. Collins Show next Tuesday at 3:30 Pacific Time, and he's expected to be with us for a half an hour, and we'll take your phone calls. The other point was, would you ask your listeners to please stop calling our office and telling him to come on the Peter B. Collins Show? I'll let you decide whether to take that advice or not. John in Carmel Valley, you're next here in the Free Speech Zone. Go right ahead.
Peter, I did something interesting today and different for me. For me, I tuned into right-wing radio via KMJ, and I got in on a guy I'd never heard before. His name is, I think, if I got it right, Ray Appleton, who is one of their own guys there at KMJ.
And that's in Fresno, by the way, for people who don't know. Go ahead.
He was very personable. He has a voice that sounds like, remember Art Finley?
Oh, yeah, I remember Art. I used to work next to Art.
Oh, really? At KGO?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I've heard him twice call in recently to Tom Hartman's show, and it sounds like he's now based in Seattle. Up there.
Well, Finley went to Vancouver.
Oh, a bunch of times. He'd go up there for a while, then he'd come back to KGO.
Right, and I've lost track of him.
Well, he called in. He talked quite at length with Hartman just about 2 weeks ago, and his name was never mentioned. The second time, Hartman mentioned it several times, and they talked for quite a while, and it was like old time returning.
That's neat.
Anyway, let me tell you, with this guy, he had all kinds of callers. He dealt with a bunch of subjects, but he did deal quite a bit with this Libby thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he just dismissed it as one of the biggest unburgers, that's what he called it, in the news. And their whole approach, his and the callers, was just dismiss it. It's all just partisan nonsense, and it's just something that the left dreamt up. And I told myself, I guess you have to do that when you lose so big, because they did.
Yeah.
And then I have to tell you about this, because I also heard Hannity for about half an hour, and all he did was a straight spiel. He said he never took any callers in that first time, but he said, Wilson, the ambassador, was a complete incompetent. He should have never been hired to do what he did to go to Niger.
He wasn't hired.
Well, whatever. That was his pitch. Then he said that,
and let's be fair to Joe Wilson. He was the incompetent who faced down Saddam Hussein in 1992 when Saddam was using Americans as, what did he call them, human shields. And it was Joe Wilson who confronted him and won the release of those Americans and returned home with them before we launched a Desert Storm. And let's remember, Joe Wilson, a Republican appointee. And so his defection is that much more important given his background. Now, John, let me trade stories with you, because this morning I was on my way to a meeting and I had KGO on in the car. And just before 9 o'clock, they mentioned that they expected the verdict to be coming in shortly. Ed Baxter, the morning anchor, and his female counterpart, and Ron Owens all agreed that the jury was going to acquit Libby on all charges.
Oh, my gosh.
Then, into the next hour, as Owens launches his show, he becomes more and more petulant because the news department is demanding to cut in to present a network report on the Libby verdict. And Ron is busy setting up his exclusive interview with Rudy Giuliani, and he is clearly annoyed that this story is going to intrude on his turf. And so they attempt to go to the network. It fails. I don't know what happened. And then Owens petulantly says, here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a traffic report. We're going to play 3 commercials. And then we're going to start this show over with the theme music. This is a mess. He had a little tantrum. I bet he almost wet his pants.
Well,
it was amazing.
I haven't listened to him to any extent, but the vibrations I'm getting from the little I've heard is he's been pretty much in favor of Bush's war, right?
He was initially. He's soured on it now.
Well, what is his opinion about Bush in general now? Does he want him out?
Yeah, he's had enough, but it took him a while to get there.
Oh, really? Well, let me tell you one last thing that was fantastic on Appleton's show. He gets a bunch of callers because even, one of the things that was so enlightening to me is they sounded like your callers. These were Central Valley people mostly. None of them sounded like Yahoos. They all used English as well as our callers do. They all sounded as up and at it. They didn't sound down. They sounded reasonably intelligent, but what they were voicing, I wish I had a recording because it was all and worse of what we would hope they would be changing some of their views. No. They were saying things like this: Bush is so broad-minded. He's not at all divisive. And then there was, this is the most fantastic thing of all, there was a caller who said he thought that since Bush was so enlightened and broad-minded, they were all speculating, interestingly, that Cheney was going to resign, probably soon, and that the problem was who to replace him with, mm-hmm. and they mostly thought that Condi was the one to replace him.
Oh, my God.
But here comes this caller who says, no, he should be replaced by, of all people, Hillary Clinton.
Oh, my God.
That was my event of the day, maybe of the month.
All right. Well, John, thank you for that report. You saved me the risk of indigestion. And next time you're in the car in the evening, dial up KMJ. There's a woman there who is so far right and so out of touch with the Constitution. I can't recall her name, but I listened and was shocked and appalled recently when I heard her talk about who cares about the Constitution. I want to kill some terrorists. Thanks for your call, John. More coming up next in the Free Speech Zone. Grab a line, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Come on in and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything's so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a bill of fare. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with crumbs stew. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery.
MPG. For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
In these United States, you have many rights. You have the right to assemble. You have the right to free speech. You have the right to worship as you choose. And when you disagree with Billy Sunshine, you have the right to be wrong.
The Billy Sunshine Show, right here on KRXA 540 AM. Tune in Sundays 3 to 5.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Rapp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540.
Tired of stale syndicated right-wing blowhards?
And we are thrilled and honored to have with us Donald Rumsfeld.
You got a bunch of dopey kids watching each show. Oh, O'Reilly!
Here on KRXA 540, you can hear a fresh local liberal blowhard.
And another thing, Coach, you could strip me naked, stake me to an anthill, pour honey all over me, and I still wouldn't vote for a Republican.
Hal on the show every morning from 9 to 10, only on KRXA 540.
So it means that our investigation turned up nothing.
If somebody testified lying before a grand jury, doesn't mean he's involved.
And it's flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men are three women for me.
Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis. I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you've retired, you don't have anything to worry about. Probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. Got to catapult the propaganda.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Okay. 33 minutes after the hour, we're in the free speech zone. There's a line open for you right now at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372.
Still don't know what I was waiting for, and my time was running wild. I mean, in dead end streets, and every time I thought I got it made, it seemed the taste was not so sweet. So I turned myself to face me. I've never caught a glimpse how the others must see the baker. I'm much too fast to take that test.
Changes.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes.
Wanna be a richer man.
And we got some changes underway here at the Peter B. Collins Show. Our longtime producer, Matt Renner, who's been here since day one of this incarnation of the PBC radio thing. He's moving on, got a new job at truthout.org, where you'll see his byline as a reporter. And I want to welcome Brian Urban to the Peter B. Collins Show. He's here today figuring out how the phone system works. And so far, he hasn't hung up on anybody. That's a talent we really need. So if you call in here during the free speech zone, don't be surprised if you hear a new voice. That's Brian. Be nice to him. He's still figuring out how all the buttons work. And there are two lines open if you'd like to talk right now at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Billy in Capitola joins us. Hey, Billy.
Hey, buddy.
So what do you think about this?
Oh, boy. By the way, I just want to say, you're right. It's not as easy as it seems. I keep still dropping calls. Absolutely.
I know. I occasionally do it when I think I'm putting somebody on hold, and boom, they're gone.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, what a great day today is. Now, you played Changes. Do you think there are going to be some?
Oh, I just played that for our changes fun here at the program, no,
okay,
to welcome Brian Urban.
Okay.
I don't think that Cheney's going to resign. I don't think there will be. I think the Bush administration will ignore this as much as they possibly can.
Well, the fact is that at this point, the ball needs to be picked up by the two people who have dropped it in the past, and that is the Congress and the media. The oversight of the Congress and the media have been nowhere to be seen, and that's why this got as far as it did. But
yeah,
is this the signal for the Congress to start their investigations?
Hearings, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, isn't that what this gives them permission to do?
It does to a point, but because, you know, what usually happens is that indictments are returned and there are hearings on the Hill before the criminal case goes forward. And because we had Republican control, that couldn't have happened in the past. And so for congressional hearings to follow what Fitzgerald has now described as a concluded investigation, I think will unfortunately lead to predictable attacks from the right that the Democrats are just trying to rehash old stuff. I don't buy that. I think this is a very important set of issues, and it goes to the core of whether Dick Cheney has lived up to his oath of office. This is not a trivial, trifling matter, as so many right-wing spinmeisters want you to believe.
And but the people whose job it is to enlighten us have so let us down. Now, the Democrats have been, you know, a little weak here. Maybe they'll man up.
Mm-hmm.
But the media just... You know, if every time anybody got on any show, they were asked the rule of law question, you know, because obviously the way, you know, the way it's supposed to work is that, you know, with the pardon facing him, he's guaranteed the pardon. So why would he turn over, you know, the guys on top like it's supposed to work?
Right.
You know, only the media could force Bush into that position.
Well, I agree. And there are reporters who have tried to pose the question. And Bush has simply refused to talk about it because it's an ongoing criminal investigation.
But
that excuse was removed today about noontime in Washington.
Actually, but, no. Because he'll say, well, there's an appeal. You know, they can play that game.
Yeah.
But the fact is that, you know, if in fact the next time he's asked, you know, instead of letting them go on, he'll say, I'm not going to answer that. If the next person gets up to ask the same question and keeps asking the question, what would they do? You know, if the press really was serious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that, and I think we need reporters who are willing to lose their White House access, lose the Helen Thomas front row seat.
No more parties.
Yeah, to really demand answers. And unfortunately, the Gucci-shod crowd that we have in the White House press pool now, they care more about their six-figure salaries and their hairdos and their future with the network than they do with the work that they should be doing on behalf of you and me.
Enough said.
Thank you, Billy.
Bye, buddy.
All right. There's a guy who emails me frequently, and he is an opinionated guy named Mark Perkel, and he sends me very brief, pithy letters to the editor. He wrote today, it's a shame that Scooter Libby was merely convicted of perjury instead of treason. Scooter Libby should be hung because he was a key figure in the web of lies that got America into this war. He is directly responsible for the deaths of over 3,000 of our soldiers. Even if Bush doesn't pardon him, at best, he'll only do 2 years or so. When people lie to get a country into a war, that's high treason. And the entire Bush administration is guilty of it. And he always signs off, I'm Mark Perkel, and I approved this message. All right, Mark, thank you for that thought. 888-5-PETER-B, join us with your comments here on the PBC show today. Laird is next in Eureka. Hello, Laird.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay today, and you?
I'm doing fine. Ironically, your last listener pretty much said what I had wanted to say, and I find that very heartening. I think this may be a wake-up call. I hope it is for the Democrats. I haven't been impressed with their performance so far. I realize they haven't been in power long.
And they don't have full power.
That's true.
Especially in the Senate. It's a very tentative situation.
But it was nice to see the chink in the armor of the administration, if you will. And I think it's a good step to build on. If the people are behind this decision, I think that Congress may take a little heart in it.
Well, the problem I see here, and I don't want to rule that out, because a Henry Waxman or a John Conyers properly motivated could do a lot of damage and you know, peel back the veneer of the Bush administration in many respects. But we don't see the appetite for that, at least not so far. And I believe that Democrats need to get bare-knuckled. They need to stand up and fight for our Constitution. And in the name of the Constitution, conduct the investigations and hold people accountable. And to some extent, the CIA leak case is a distraction. Because the real issue here is that they were trying to prevent the embarrassment to the administration over the lies they told us to get us into the war in Iraq. And that's the fundamental issue that should lead to generous outrage on the part of every American. And, you know, people should be screaming like Keith Olbermann does from the right as well as the left.
Well, I think,
but we don't see that. And it's discouraging for me, frankly.
I think it's a distraction in the respect that if we allow it to be one, it's just business as usual. I think the last listener and my and a lot of Americans' point, we need to do it. We need to build, to peel back the layers, if it's one layer at a time. Once we get in that direction, I think it will kind of snowball itself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but we need to do it. The sitting around talking about it, it gets awful frustrating.
Well, and there's too much calculation going on, trying to calculate what the potential damage
Very
is.
Good.
And we've
right.
got to function, you know, by simply facing the truth and saying, these people took an oath of office, and they violated it willingly, knowingly, repeatedly. It is that simple, in my view. And impeachment is well warranted here. It's tragic that Nancy Pelosi has, quote-unquote, taken it off the table. And I think somebody's got to go under that table and put it back up right on top.
Yeah, thank you, Peter.
Laird, thank you for listening. I appreciate the call.
Bye.
All righty, and I got to scroll up here to see. It's Dave in the Pinnacles online, too. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Peter. How you doing?
Okay today. I wanted to, you know, I was happy to hear the verdict, and I just was crushed when Patrick Fitzgerald said he's finished.
Well, it just seems like it's no surprise. I mean, it just seems like, that. Remember that song, Is That All There Is?
Yeah.
It's just, you just have this feeling of hollow justice. We're not getting justice. And I'd like to just say, you know, like, everybody that calls this program, including, you know, yourself and everyone else, we feel that Bush and this cabal of Republicans are just nothing short of traitors. But the thing is where is the loyal opposition? Where is Nancy Pelosi? Now, one thing, you know, that this trial, it shows that there is a level of corruption in the White House that cannot be denied.
Yeah.
And I'd like to know why, when George Bush and this administration can just go out and fire at will 7 prosecutors that are snooping into corruption, why isn't Nancy Pelosi saying, you get those guys down here, we're opening up a congressional investigation, and you hire those lawyers and you get them to work right now?
Well, that actually happened today. Pelosi didn't personally do it, but there were hearings in both the Senate and House Judiciary Committees. Subpoenas were issued to bring some of these fired U.S. attorneys like David Iglesias.
Well, that's good news. That's all I can say, because that's what it's going to take.
Well, I would recommend, I don't know what the schedule will be, but I hope those hearings will be replayed on C-SPAN this evening. And I'm going to see if I can catch part of it, and you might try as well.
Hey, you know, one quick comment that just really blew my mind, Peter, and it just made me so angry, is this thing about the Walter Reed Hospital. The guy that was fired, was second in command, and he knew about all the complaints, and said that this guy knew all about the complaints, and he never acted on them. And all I can say is, man, that is just infuriating to know that that's the guy that's taken over.
Yeah.
It's just outrageous.
Well, it is. And I thank you for the call, Dave. Good to hear from you in the Pinnacles in San Bernardino County today. If you'd like to join us, the Free Speech Zone is available to you right now at 888-5-PETER-B. And we've got a few more minutes to go, so if you have not weighed in, I want to hear your comments. 888-5-PETER-B. I mentioned a moment ago how disappointed I am that Pelosi has, quote-unquote, taken impeachment off the table. And I said somebody ought to put it back. And I just clicked on a link here while I was talking to Dave. And there is an interview in the new issue of Esquire magazine of Chuck Hagel, the Republican who is disaffected from the White House. And he is suggesting that impeachment is the route here. And I'm trying to find the quote. Here it is. The president says, I don't care. He's not accountable anymore, Hagel says, measuring his words by the syllable and his syllables almost by the letter. He's not accountable anymore, which isn't totally true. You can impeach him, and before this is over, you might see calls for his impeachment. I don't know. It depends on how this goes. The conversation beaches itself for a moment on that word, impeachment, spoken by a conservative Republican from a safe Senate seat in a reddish state. It's barely even whispered among the serious set in Washington, and it rings like a gong in the middle of the sentence, even though it flowed quite naturally out of the conversation he was having about how everybody had abandoned their responsibility to the country, and now there was a war going bad because of it. He quotes Hegel again. Congress abdicated its oversight responsibility. The press abdicated its responsibility. And the American people abdicated their responsibility. Terror was on the minds of everyone, and nobody questioned anything, quite frankly. Well, that's a little incomplete, Chuck Hagel. Because if you were listening to this program, the Tom Hartman program, Bernie Ward in San Francisco, and many others, you would have heard key questions raised before we got as far as we have. We're going to take a break and return. There's a line available if you'd like to talk in the free speech zone. 888-573-8372. That's toll free 1-888-5-PETER-B. And I'm Peter B. Collins. KRXA 540. Progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Hello, everybody. This is R.J. Moyer. Join me Sunday nights from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. for Sports Phone KRXA. Now all of us Monday morning quarterbacks can get together Sunday nights and talk about football, baseball, basketball, tennis, golf, hockey, softball, volleyball, kickball, bocce ball, bowling, rugby, lacrosse. Well, maybe we won't talk about rugby and lacrosse, but join me anyway for Sports Phone KRXA, Sunday nights from 6 p.m. until 7 p.m.
Let's take a look at that drive home in and around the Monterey Bay area. Oh, it's the tail end of the afternoon drive. Still some things to watch out for, though. A new crash in Sand City, southbound along Highway 1 before Fremont Boulevard. Looks like a solo vehicle hit the center divide here, so some minor injuries may go into play. Road work, it wasn't exactly scheduled, but here it is in Carmel Valley. Rancho Fiesta Road at Carmel Valley Road. Again, not scheduled work, but a truck and tractors are working on a water main in that area, so it is partially blocking the roadway. Still some slow traffic for southbounders along Highway 1. You'll see it bogging down between Monterey and Carmel in pockets. Eastbound Highway 68, still a little slow from Monterey into Salinas. This last look brought to you by Office Depot. Now at Office Depot, get a coupon for $5 off a $10 purchase on full-service black and white or color copies. Let Office Depot lend you a hand. See store for details. That's traffic on KRXA 540.
Now on the Peter B. Collins Show.
I used to expose myself to people out on the streets. Now when I feel the urge to sin, I just fall down on my knees. And I sing,
Holy Mother, roll one time for me. Holy Mother, roll one time for me.
Yes, we're going to dip into the Holy Roller file here at the PBC Show.
Hallelujah, my friends, why the sin on the snow white.
religion has set me free.
Yeah, that's old Country Joe McDonald, and religion has set me free, goddamn. two items in the Holy Roller file. In the wake of the scandal involving its sometime gay founding pastor, Ted Haggard, the New Life Church in Colorado Springs has been forced to lay off 44 of its 350 workers because of a sharp drop in donations. And also in the Holy Roller file, the far right is ganging up on an evangelical who has said we ought to get off the sex stuff like abortion and homosexuality and focus on the future of the planet. A guy named Richard Cizik, C-I-Z-I-K, is the head of the National Association of Evangelicals Government Affairs Office. And he's a pretty decent guy. I've interviewed Rich Cizik a few times over the years. And he is being hammered at by James Dobson, Gary Bauer, Tony Perkins, and Paul Weyrich. Now, they don't belong to the National Association of Evangelicals, but they want to go after, I guess he says Cizik. I don't know. I called him Cizik. And they are trying to get him fired, even though they're not members of the organization that he works for. A little disarray in the ranks of the far right. Jake in Arcata, you're next on the Peter B. Collins Show. Hi, Jake.
Hey, Peter B., how's it going?
Doing okay. Like I said, I have this mixed feeling. I'm glad there's a verdict. I'm glad that Libby's guilty. But I feel like they're ending this movie far before it's over.
Well, you're right. Fitzgerald is ending the movie. But, you know, the Democrats need to pay attention to what the people did in November. We put the Democrats in power, Peter, so they can hold the Bush administration accountable. It's the Democrats in Congress who need to pick up the ball here, specifically those on the intelligence committees. I would suggest to the listeners, if they want to do something constructive, call the members of the intelligence committees. The Senate intelligence committee is headed by Carl Levin from Michigan. And I believe the House intelligence committee is now headed by Congressman Reyes from Texas.
Sylvester Reyes, right.
That's right. And also our local congressman here up on the North Coast, Mike Thompson, I believe he's also on the intelligence committee.
And he's going to be on our program. We finally booked him next Tuesday, Jake, at 3:30.
Good. I'd like to hear what he has to say.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, there's a lot of people up here who are not very happy with Thompson, concerning the fact that Mike Thompson is a conservative blue dog Democrat.
Right.
But he did vote against the war, but he unfortunately has not been very, what's the word I'm looking for, proactive on the issue, or even, you know, bringing up the subject of impeachment. There's so many Democrats, entrenched Democrats like Mike Thompson in Congress, who are too afraid to lose their jobs, who don't want to do what needs to be done. And right now, what needs to be done is there needs to be an investigation in the Congress about Dick Cheney's numerous egregious violations of national security. That is something that they can do right now. And if they don't do it, they have no one to blame but themselves, Peter.
Yeah, and I think the focus should be very clearly on the Constitution and his oath of office, because I think that has been clearly violated repeatedly. And, you know, that's where I want it to be. I don't want to get into personalities and a lot of the other stuff, you know, that can be a distraction. I want to focus narrowly on their oath of office and their obligation to defend and protect the Constitution, because they've been shredding it. And I think that oath really means something, and I want to hold them to that. I think that's a real critical part of what we hope is going to come next.
That's right, and I really do appreciate what you're doing and what many of your listeners are doing, trying to keep the pressure on, because we need to keep the pressure on our Democratic politicians. We voted for them, but we need to remember they're not going to do anything unless we remind them why we voted for them. And we voted for them, Peter, to keep Bush and Cheney in check.
Yep, you're right. All right, Jake, thank you for a pithy call.
Thanks, Peter.
I appreciate it. And thank you all for calling the program today. A couple of items that I didn't have time for earlier that I wanted to mention. You've heard a lot about earmarks. When we talked to Chalmers Johnson, the historian, a few weeks back, he explained that earmarks came out of the secret black budgets for the CIA and our other intelligence agencies, and that originally earmarks were secret, and they were appropriations to support various projects and, you know, boondoggles of the intelligence establishment. And then over the last 10 years, it's just ballooned to the point where every member of Congress and the Senate earmarks certain funds in a process that, prior to the Democrats taking control, was far from transparent and involved a lot of duplicity and power plays, where very powerful members could insert these earmarks and essentially deliver pork to their districts without real accountability and without any real explanation of who might have caused these expenditures to be made and who might have benefited from them. And so we saw an exponential growth in earmarks, and this is best epitomized by the so-called Bridge to Nowhere in Alaska. And you may recall that Congress tried to cut the funding for two bridges in Alaska described as Bridges to Nowhere. And many of you probably think that they've been excised from the budget and they're not going to be built. When Congress removed the earmarks for the bridges in 2005, it still gave the money to the state of Alaska, but it allowed state officials to decide how to spend it. And the state has reserved about $200 million for these two bridges, far less than the construction cost total, but enough to show that they're serious about planning and completing these projects. So you may have thought the Bridges to Nowhere were dead, but your taxpayer dollars are going to be spent on bridges that very few people will use and that are hardly cost-effective. And I just expect that the name Murkowski or Stevens will wind up on one of those bridges. Those are the goons from Alaska who have squeezed money out in ways that are disproportionate and basically taking them right out of your pocket. Thanks for listening today to the Peter B. Collins Show. We'll do it again tomorrow. Hope you'll join me.
Trails to you until we meet again.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. On the 10th day of deliberation, a jury in Washington found Lewis Scooter Libby guilty on four of the five counts against him. Vice President Cheney's former chief of staff was accused of lying and obstructing the investigation into the Bush administration leak that outed CIA officer Valerie Plame Wilson.
This jury did not believe Lewis Libby when he said he had forgotten his role. It did believe prosecutors who said that there was an intentional and deliberate lie on the part of this high-ranking administrative official to cover up the White House role in the leaking of that name.
CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen. Correspondent Barry Bagnato was at the courthouse for the verdict.
Dejected but not defeated, Libby's lead lawyer Ted Wells promises to seek a new trial, and if that fails, to appeal.
We have every confidence that ultimately Mr. Libby will be vindicated.
Special Prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald calls this whole case sad.
We cannot tolerate perjury. The truth is what drives our judicial system. If people don't come forward and tell the truth, we have no hope of making the judicial system work.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, U.S. District Court, Washington.
With the addition of support personnel, CBS News correspondent David Martin reports the troop surge in Iraq could be as high as 28,000, and it could last a while.
the surge originally had been advertised as lasting until the late summer or early fall, but now the Army has been directed to study how it would sustain that troop surge into the first part of next year, into 2008.
Speaking to the American Legion today, President Bush said the troop buildup has already produced gradual but important progress. An airliner has crashed and burned in Java, Indonesia. Reporter Stephen Flay is on the island.
We just understand at this time that it either exploded or caught fire on landing. It's thought at this time that the landing was very, very heavy due to the extreme weather conditions, very high winds in the area.
Among more than 100 people on board were Australian diplomats and journalists. There are some fatalities. Winemaker Ernest Gallo died today at his home in Modesto, California, just 12 days shy of his 98th birthday. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman has his story.
Along with his brother Giulio, Ernest Gallo built a winemaking empire. The two brothers began in 1933, just after the end of Prohibition. The odds were against them. They had less than $6,000 and knew virtually nothing.